Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Yes, we are still one nation under God right now, I think, but there's definitely those trying to change that. And that being said, you know what I'm going to say before I even say it. I love my country. It's my government I am afraid of. And if you are not afraid of what this government is doing or has become, then you are just not paying attention. Excuse me. Anyway, today is Monday and the magical day of April 8th, the full solar eclipse that goes over certain parts of the country, totality. And everybody was just all excited about that and whatever. Here in Florida, we were supposed to get a partial, and who knows, maybe we did. I really couldn't tell. It was light outside all the time, sunny, whatever. So if there was any partial solar eclipse here in Florida, then I didn't notice it. But that's okay. anyway, so that's obviously one thing. We had the solar eclipse today, the full solar eclipse today. And we'll leave that with that. The other thing that was just recently, that happened recently, was the earthquake in the Northeast, which was really very unusual. That's something they're not too familiar with. So everybody's wanting to know, what are the messages here? In the meantime, there was also a slew of tornadoes through the Midwest. So it's all climate change. We all know that, right? It's all because of climate change. But before we go any further on that, let me remind everybody, or hopefully you will join me in saying the pledge and why it's important to pledge to our country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And some of those words are so important. The republic. We're not a democracy. We are a republic. We are one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice. Seems like some of those things are not quite there today in the current environment. So what's really going on? What's really going on? And as I put on the top list, which tonight is open mic night, so feel free to jump in, join the conversation, talk about whatever you may want to. I just put some topics out here for us to talk about and a few things that we need to, we want to make sure we mention, but pretty much an open discussion tonight. The fact is there's a communist takeover of the United States of America. That's what's happening. Whether you want to admit it, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's true. And if you do not see the actions and what is going on to take over this country, like allowing all sorts of military-age men from China coming in and setting up cells all across this country, I believe they have cells in Canada too. If you're not willing to believe any of that, then, again, you're blind. You're blind. So there is definitely a communist takeover underway. And for the most part, most Americans are sitting here just watching it, the invasion at the border. We call these morons in office. And, Michael Johnson, whose side is he on? I can't tell. Doesn't seem like he's on our side. Can we stop this communist takeover? I don't know. And speaking of that, there was an article. It was actually from a couple weeks back, but somebody shared it to me today. There is this trans at the Pentagon. Trans meaning, I guess, they're just mentally confused. mentally, sexually confused, whatever. But this is our Pentagon. This is the people that are really supposed to really protect us. The Pentagon, this person is out there saying they want to get rid of the Second Amendment, and this is they want to get rid of the Electoral College. They don't see a need for a border wall. Let's see if I can shocking footage shows trans Pentagon employee arguing for repeal of the Second Amendment, abolishing Electoral College, and opening the border. I think we should repeal the Second Amendment and take the guns all away. This is a person with some key role at the Pentagon and working with our Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin. Jason Beck is his name. That's what's listed here. And this was James O'Keefe, who was doing an undercover thing with when he got this guy saying this on tape. So if you haven't seen that, you might want to go look and see. So Beck also told O'Keefe that we need to pack the Supreme Court, ban the U.S. Senate, and abolish the Electoral College. This is a person in a key role. Let's see if I can see what his job was over there. Okay, the office Beck works in oversees the Department of Defense and works as a principal defense policymaker and advisor to the president. These are the people. We talk about insurrection. This is what an insurrection is. Somebody who would go out there and try to do this stuff. This is a person in the Pentagon who's doing this. It's so sick. Absolutely so sick. And then one other thing I'll mention, which was also another article that was sent to me. I don't know what day this one was actually published. But it's coming out that there was this fake physician out there caught out there, a totally fake physician, not a real doctor, going out there, jumping on the case and slamming the real doctors who were against the COVID vaccine. This was a fake doctor who was getting all sorts of credibility with the media and going out and pushing this garbage all over the place. It's so sick. It's like, what has happened to us? Are we truly this far gone? Are we truly this nuts? Which it kind of looks like. Just absolutely insane. So let's see. There's all sorts of things to go on. So if there's anything specific you want to talk about, just push the button and we'll get you on the show. The other thing that's going on here in Florida, which I'm sure just about everybody heard, because, I mean, it was big news as of last week, that the Supreme Court approved or is allowing the referendum on the abortion issue, and which I don't have the actual language of this referendum in front of me, which I probably should do. The referendum will allow pretty much unlimited abortion up to the last minute, up maybe even after delivery. Who knows what they call an abortion these days? But this is what's on the referendum. It's going to be, which will update our state constitution. If it updates or changes the state constitution, then what the legislature passed in reference to the 6 weeks and all that will be canceled, and this will take over. And this is going to drive a lot of anti-Trumpers to the ballot box. And so this is why it's really important that people pay attention to this. And they have to get 60% in order to update the state constitution. But don't forget, Florida is the one that passed a law on pregnant pigs, okay? We have given pregnant pigs and dogs protection under our state constitution, which is totally sick. I'm sorry, the dogs and the pigs don't belong in the state constitution. So if we're willing to go and pass crazy laws like that, then what will happen with this abortion issue if we do not have some kind of counter to it in the state of Florida to push back on some of this? Because you know this is going to drive people out, and you also know those who would vote for this abortion referendum are going to most likely not vote for Trump. So it's just been a crazy, crazy situation. Excuse me. Let's see. Someone's trying to get my attention here. Let me see if I can find out what's going on here. Okay, nope, I didn't do it. Let's see here. Okay. Who knows? Maybe I'll have to try that again. But anyway, so there's a lot of stuff going on, and we need to talk about it. We need to have an open discussion. And again, just push the button if you want to push one, if you want to speak on the air and join the discussion. Going down the list here, the thing on the abortion again, I put out a letter, and I'm going to send it out to everybody in the near future here, but I'll put it out just to a few to start, in reference to Take Back Our State, Save Florida, Save America, What is the Republican Party of Florida doing to save Florida? Well, from what I see, pretty much nothing. So anyway, I gave a list of various things, ballot initiatives that we should get. I think we still have time to get some of these on the ballot, but we would need to do some serious work. And this would also help bring out the voters, make people think twice about what they're voting for on this thing. And we would also be protecting our rights at the same time as calling attention to what these others are doing with the abortion issue, like banning NGOs and banning lockdowns and mandatory vaccines and just a variety. A mandatory manual count of paper ballots. Now, maybe we say mandatory if there's any kind of challenge. If within a certain percent, you have to have a manual count, but you should always have the right. Mandatory proof of U.S. citizenship and Florida residency before you're being allowed to vote in any Florida election or referendum. No referendum can be on a primary ballot or a general ballot. Any referendum has to be on a general ballot. So I came up with this list of things, protection for cattle ranchers and farmers, protect our food supply, protect the right to eat beef if you want to eat beef or pork or whatever else. So all these different things, there's things that we could easily put out there as a referendum. And I say easily, you got to work on the language of the referendum, have to have that approved, and then you have to have so many signatures per county scattered about in order to get it out there. But I, with the networking we have with Defend Florida and some other groups, I think we could get that done if people take the action to do it. So I am trying to see about that, and we'll see if the Republican Party of Florida will do anything. Right now, they just... We have such a problem or such a challenge with those running the party, the Republican Party. If you're holding your breath that the Republican Party is going to save us, we're in trouble, because they're not. Just look at what Michael Johnson's been doing. So it's up to us to push and demand that they do something or take action ourselves. Again, we like the referendum. So there's that. What was the other? The other kind of thing that was funny was, to me it was funny, Robert F. Kennedy, he was on one of the talk shows, and he's out there, I think it was CNN, but I'm not sure, they were showing the clip. He's out there saying Biden is the worst thing for democracy, which, of course, Republic/democracy. It was just kind of interesting that because he was going after what Biden is doing, like no other president has ever done, to use political power, abuse political authority, to go out there and sabotage an election for someone else, for the other. And, of course, here, you know, Biden is blocking any kind of security, the security for Kennedy, and then also everything they did to block him from being on the Democrat ballot and all that kind of stuff. So it's also crazy. It's just a crazy state of affairs that we're in. So I'm hoping we can get some people to do something with some other initiatives for Florida, something to counter what this abortion referendum is, and maybe that's what it should be. Then instead of we have another, if we don't want to say the 6 weeks at a minimum, put out there that it can't be after birth. Aborting a child after birth is called murder, is what it should be. So, okay, I see some hands going up out there. Go to Karen, and then I see John, and then I see Cindy. So, Karen, let me know if you can hear me. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am, and that is a wonderful thing to do, and we need to do that. We need to get our legislators on track with what we want. They seem to forget that they're supposed to work for us. I think they lost that page in the Constitution that says that they're supposed to put the people. I think they maybe because they're affirmative action graduates, they can't read because they certainly haven't read the Constitution in a long time. We have been doing two things, and I wanted to share that with everybody, and I'm going to be working with you and Cindy. We are going to be coming up with a list and put them on palm cards because people are being so misled about what the Republican Party is about, which has changed dramatically, and the Democrat Party, which has also changed dramatically. And I don't believe that people know the changes, And every time I listen to these talking heads and they start describing fascism and all of that nonsense and dictatorship, I'm thinking to myself, they're describing themselves. But, of course, nobody says that. So I think it's very important that we get out palm cards. We used to do that when we were doing the Tea Party. And palm cards are wonderful because you can leave them anywhere, and we should. I used to leave them at businesses. I used to leave them in the bathroom when I go to the bathroom. Businesses had no problem because they will have Democrat and Republican both on them. And it's time that the people know the truth, because if we think that we're going to win this election by not showing up, we're not. So the more people that vote, the more important it is, because the theft will come with our lack of ballots. It's easier to cheat if there's not a lot of ballots. It's harder to cheat when there are a lot of ballots. And also people, on another note, people should be aware of the tricks that are being played. And one of those tricks is from the Rhino Republicans. And what they are doing is they are leaving Congress early. Now, I don't care if they have to go back and they're going to leave at the end of their term, but they're not doing that. They're leaving in the middle of their term. And we found out that Paul Singer, who also donated to Marco Rubio, but also helped with the Steele dossier, remember that, has been offering the legislators to leave Congress early, and he would give them money and perhaps a position. So we have a lot of legislators that have left, like Kevin McCarthy, in the middle of their term. Why didn't he wait until the end like he said he was going to do? Because now he has a big fancy job as a lobbyist. So they are doing that now. Why would they do that? Because we have a very slim majority, because they are beyond stupid. They let George Santos go, and we know why they did that, because his voting record was almost 100% MAGA, and they couldn't have that. So we lost that seat, and we're about to lose several others. And if we lose enough, what will happen is the Congress will flip over to Democrats, and Hakeem Jeffries would then have the gavel. And they already have their plan. Should that happen, their plan is to get Trump not certify his election and claim that he is an insurrectionist, which Robert Kennedy, I know you mentioned him, just said that there's no evidence of an insurrection. So that's an issue also. But they will cite President Trump as an insurrectionist, and they have to, due to the 14th Amendment, not let him take office. So we have some very serious issues that are facing us. I also believe, and this is a personal opinion, not to be confused with facts, but history shows us that we might have another summer of love. And especially after what went on in Michigan yesterday, that was a total disgrace. My answer to those people who are screaming death to America, please leave. Go someplace else. Who needs you here? Why are you here?
Why are you here?
You know, and please go to Iran or one of those Muslim countries and start screaming death to the mullahs, death to Iran, and see how far that gets you. Because it's not going to get you very far. It'll probably get your head cut off. And the idiots, the gays for the Muslims, that one is really shows me how ignorant these people are, because just even the mention of being gay under the Quran, under Sharia, would get you murdered immediately. So, I mean, these people have no brains, apparently. And like I said in the beginning, death to America, please leave. Go someplace else. We don't want you here. You don't want to be here. Don't be here. This is our country. You don't like it? Leave. And this, by the way, was Obama who brought in 85 million Somalis, and not 85 million, 85,000 Somalis, and dumped them in, that was in Minnesota. And, of course, they brought their families because they're so generous. So I think we have a lot to beware of, especially the pandemic scare. That's another one. And getting rid of WHO. They just funded WHO. So not only did we fund WHO, they're probably going to sign up to be part of it. And that will be a real problem.
And these are the Republicans. This is what the Republicans are doing. With friends like them, who needs enemies? I'm telling you.
Exactly. And also another thing that was brought to my attention, several years ago, I wrote many, many, many articles on the Affirmative Fair Housing Act, which Obama tried to put in place and everyone screamed about, saying that he's going to destroy the rural communities. Well, that was kind of put on hold. But guess what will come creeping back if Joe Boy gets another term? And what is that? That is the complete takeover of all zoning and planning by the federal government. So if we think we have problems now, we have that to look forward to. And Sally, you might be interested to know that I think we gave $2.5 billion to build all of those wonderful charging stations. And in the last 3 years, our competent government built 7 charging stations. Did they make them gold plated charging
stations? Dear help, dear Lord help us, I'm telling you.
We need a lot of help. We're in trouble.
We do. And I'm telling you, these stinking Republicans, they're so disgusting, too. I mean, it's just this uniparty garbage. It's just unbelievable what they are doing, too. And that's why, you know, when it comes time to vetting these people, we've got to get rid of these people that are in office. I mean, Michael Johnson, had he never been speaker, I would have thought he was a nice person to keep in there for Louisiana. But now, what was the other thing Louisiana voted against or doing something? Everything is just going all totally nuts. That's why I'm really saying this is a communist takeover of this country, and people are just sitting there watching like, oh, that'll never happen. Well, it's happening. It's happening right now. People will wake up and smell the whatever and do something. Those of us who are a little bit older just never would have realized it could get this bad. We knew it could get bad, and we knew it was getting bad, but it's all coming crashing down, and it really is. It's so much of it is the way it's happening now. Is all because Trump went in there and derailed it in 2016. He started. He was pushing nationalism versus globalism, and nationalism isn't a negative thing. It's to mean that you have a sovereign country, not that you're part of the United Nations global government, one world government. But because of that, and this is making these other people go nuts, though, because they want their one world order, one world government. And now they're going ballistic, which is what, when you talk about the summer of 2024, and Ricky was talking about this last week, it's going to get worse because the more support Trump gets, the crazier these people are going to be. And there's definitely going to be the, Memorial Day is the next thing coming up. So what kind of thing will they try to make happen on Memorial Day? What kind of racist issue will they try to generate to get people out there fighting in the streets? You know, the real insurrection where people have buildings on fire and everything else, that kind of stuff. Which, by the way, we probably need to have a lot more conversation about what a real insurrection is. It's not grandma going inside the Capitol talking to a police officer. That's, you know, I'm sure everybody's heard about the grandma who was going to be sentenced in August or whatever because she went inside the Capitol building on Jan 6. And here they show her friendly, politely talking to an officer. The officer never said, ma'am, you need to leave. They never said, here, let me escort you out of the building. You don't belong in here. Never did that. Just stood there and let her talk. Isn't that entrapment? It's just so sick. We've become such a sick society. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. And no, nobody, of course, is talking about all of the, quote, evidence that seems to be coming about right now, that apparently they don't want to recognize, that showed that the CIA, FBI operatives were there. Trump did ask for 10,000 troops to be there. He asked for more security. Of course, that was denied, and of course, that was left out of the minutes from the insurrection meeting. But I think I don't understand why they didn't go back and have another committee to investigate. Why are they not investigating J6? Why are they letting these people rot in there? That is, it's just absolutely disgraceful. But unfortunately, that's the revolution.
This goes to one of my key questions on the list for tonight. Does the GOP have what it takes to win this election or anything else? And that is the scariest. Now, I'm hopefully there's some of the changes that the RNC is going to help somewhere along there. But I'm telling you, we got to get some real genuine patriots in there, statesmen and patriots that are actually going to work for the people and support this Constitution. There's just too many of them that are in there now that need to go out. And the sad part is, well, in the past, especially with McCarthy and company and what's her name, McDaniel there, they were all they were helping the enemy. They weren't helping try to restore this country, restore our republic, not democracy, but republic. They weren't out there doing any of that. They were doing everything to take down Trump and those of the MAGA movement. And it's just so disgusting. It's like, go ahead.
I was going to say, absolutely. And now what happened in the last few days over in the Middle East, between that last night and what Biden did and Blinken said and put in Ukraine in NATO and wanting Israel to stop bombing, which, by the way, they did, but I don't believe it was because they are stopping bombing. I think that they are just gathering their troops and strategizing because they know they have to go into Rafah. There's no way around it. And these people thinking that there can be a two-state solution when the only thing that Hamas wants is death to Israel, death to America. I mean, you know, that's what they keep on saying, and they're going to do it. Eventually, if we don't stop, they will definitely do it. So we have a lot of things that we had better make sure that we get the right people in office, and just getting Trump in office without getting anybody else to help him and support him is not going to work. So we have to vet our candidates. That is a high priority.
Absolutely, and people better really realize what that means, because I'm telling you, it's just, that's why we could be doing so much more right now if you had just some kind of decency in the Senate, and also, of course, the Speaker of the House would do anything. They could, so much of the stuff we could have, you know, obviously you're limited because you don't have the full control of the Senate, but you had the House. And everything they've done in that House has been to the negative to us. And the Senate just put the frosting on the cake for them. That's all they did. They just sealed the deal for the House. It's just absolutely beyond me of what Michael Johnson thinks he's doing or what he's supposed to be doing. It just seems so bizarre because he definitely does not seem to be an ignorant person. At one point, he seemed to be a constitutionalist. He's supposed to be a constitutional attorney by what people say. But where is he? And, I mean, I've called and I've left enough messages, and I'll still suggest people pray for him, but I think you ought to call and say a prayer for him on the phone as well, because he seems to be totally out. I don't know. He's been trained by McCarthy. That's all I can say. He's been trained by McCarthy, and we can't have that kind of leadership.
I wonder if they have something on him. You know, like both.
You have to wonder.
You know, I don't know, and you guess, but, you know, past experience, that's what usually happens. And because to do like a total 180 from what he said to what he's doing either they have something on him, and well, we know that he's using the same McCarthy consultants and staff, so I guess nothing is going to change. But if enough people call, please call, please call, and say no money for Ukraine, you know, maybe somebody will listen. Somebody is listening.
Yeah.
It's just the wrong people.
Yeah, it's just, it's unbelievable. It really is. What was the other thing, too? The other, it's somewhat of a the generic question of what's going to happen if Biden wins and what's going to happen if Trump wins. Both scenarios put the fear in me, Biden, because the lunacy, the Obama platform is going to continue, the Clinton, Obama, whatever, communist takeover is going to continue. And at the same time,
I believe if Biden wins, banning cars and banning the combustion engine and banning gas stoves is only the beginning. I mean, there will be serious bans of everything, and we will lose our rights, which will then be granted by the government, and they will go full-blown, full-out communism, and all we have to do is look at China, because they will put in the digital currency, and to me, that will be the end, because you take away a person's food and money, you know, then... You take away a person's food and money and their toast.
Yep. And at the same time, we talk about the digital currency stuff. The states have the right to have their own currency. The Constitution has the gold and silver as currency. But you try to get these states to do anything, and they totally forget the 10th Amendment and what a sovereign state is. They don't seem, which again goes back to the affirmative action routine. They don't understand this. So we have so many ways to stop this crazy communist takeover, if we could get anyone to do anything. These people are in so-called leadership, the ones that are supposed to be representing us, the ones who are supposed to have taken an oath to uphold a state and U.S. Constitution at the state level kind of stuff, and they just seem bobbleheads. They're just like, whatever. So we've got to make sure, if they're in office, with a very few exceptions, the majority of them need to be replaced. We've got to replace these people. And that's at the state and at the federal level. We don't need this kind of garbage. It's just, we need constitutional sheriffs. Can you find any of those lately? I'm hoping this one guy, Chris Brannon, here in Jackson County, is an opportunity for a constitutional sheriff to be in here, because we've got to get rid of the guy that's in there. It just totally amazes me that the only way you're supposed to contact a sheriff is to go to Facebook. I mean, is that not the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? I'm supposed to, if I want to speak to the sheriff of my county, I have to go contact him and post something on Facebook. Stupid. That's true. The other side of the question was that if Trump wins,
well,
from an economic thing, I can definitely see some positives happening, but I can also see these nutcases going to the streets and all the stuff, the summer of love, burning down buildings and setting cars on fire and all that stuff, that'll probably be minor, not to mention through their illegal immigration invasion thing. They've got cells of the communist Chinese all over the place, not to mention whoever else they've got. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, I can see the summer of love. I can see the border being closed, and that would be a good thing. And I can see... our economy thriving, and we will not have a problem with gas and oil. So that means the states will not have a problem either. And I think it will be, I don't think it would take that long to turn me around. But,
I don't think so either, that place. That isn't my, that's not my concern. You know, if Trump is allowed to get elected and do what he's going to do, that's fine. I'm much more concerned about these loons who are so determined to stop him. To what extent will they go? If Trump wins, what do you think the loons are going to do?
Oh, I think we haven't seen half of what they're going to do. And I think we're in for a real mess. And again, it would depend upon who's in the House and the Congress, because the big problem is law and order. And if there's no law and order, which Trump, of course, will be advocating, but he can't send a battalion to the city. You have to be invited by, you know, the head of that city. So talking about it, contrasting it that way, I think would be great. I also think that he will get rid of about 3,000 criminals who were there the last time and, you know, refused to help him and refused any of his policies, so that he'd be able to put in some good policies. So I think we can see a good turnaround in government. And I would be looking for more positive than negative.
Well, I just, what I fear of these loons and what they might do. But there was something interesting. I don't know if people heard it play. I'm sure many of you did. It was Charles Barkley. They're showing him replaying him saying they let this guy beats up the cops in the middle of the street in New York City, and they let him go within the same 24 hours and whatever else. And Barkley said, we have to have law and order, we have to. And then the host, I can't remember what the show it was, is saying, well, then do you support Biden or do you support Trump? Because Trump is the one that wants law and order, whatever. And I don't know that they ever got an answer from him out of that, because he's never been a Trump fan. But he's out there so adamantly saying, everybody knows that it doesn't matter what party you're in, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or whether you're a dog or a cat, you know this is wrong. I mean, it was just funny listening to Charles Barkley go rampant on this thing about law and order and these people being let out to go kill and everything else. And yet, you know, of course, the question is, well, why do you think that's happening? Who do you think is promoting this stuff and that kind of stuff? And, of course, he doesn't quite get to that. But it was still good to hear him say we need law and order, even if he didn't say Trump.
Isn't it surprising that nobody ever says, why is this happening? They report on it happening, but they never report on why is this happening. And then when they have a solution, they change the outcome instead of looking why it happened, which would change the whole thing. So they never go look at the cause. They only go after the effect. Well, how does that work? And that's why we have the mess that we do. Because they're giving it a new name, which is what they do best. Oh, they're failing in education, so we won't call it Common Core, we'll call it something else. You know, I mean, it absolutely makes no sense, which is, this is the Democrats, the party of no sense, no common sense. Maybe we will see that with Trump, that would be nice.
Yeah. The one other thing that I'll kind of change on the topic here a little bit, but after the bridge ordeal, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, I was in a grocery store one day, and the lady in front of me, she had a bunch of sugar and stuff, and I mean, it was kind of funny. I made a joke. I said, someone said, well, looks like a real interesting recipe, because she had some Bud Light in there too or whatever. It looks like an interesting recipe. What are you making? And then she was chuckling and laughing about it. And she said, they're saying right now, because of that accident, that bridge problem, the supply chain routine, there's going to be a shortage of sugar. So if you like to use a lot of sugar, you might want to go out and buy some. I hadn't heard that sugar was going to be a shortage on account of that, but she was saying that. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I had heard that it was automobiles and trucks. I did not hear sugar.
Yeah.
But sugar is needed when you're preserving. So anybody that does preserving, if you don't have a backup of sugar, I would suggest, as Sally just said, go out and get some, because now is really the time. Well, the good news in Florida is we're probably more prepared than any other state because of the hurricanes, of which there will be a La Nina this year, which will make the oceans cooler, and therefore the clash of cold and warm air will create hurricanes. So, and it has nothing to do with man-made global warming. It's nature. Nature does that. When two forces collide, there's a storm. That's the way it works. So that is real important. Prepare. And what I would say is prepare for a hurricane and just get a little extra. Because from listening to Mayor Pete, who says, the EVs are taking off. There are so many being sold. The people love them. The car dealerships are making more EVs. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, what planet is this guy living on? And how,
saying it doesn't make it so.
You're right. That's it. He said it. So therefore it must be so. That's
yeah.
It. And then,
totally the
you
opposite.
Know, they made out of $2.5 billion, they were able to make 7 charging stations. I mean, it is any, who is buying EVs to me would be a rich person who wants a third car and something to go to town in. You certainly, if you, they're so totally unreliable. And there's, and, oh, and then to top it off, today there was an article that said they're going to have a problem with EVs because nobody calculated how much extra electricity they would need.
Or how much plastic products they need to make the stupid things and all the other. It's so ridiculous. It's so stupid. Let me go ahead and get John in here real quick, see what he's thinking.
Okay, I am going to put myself on mute so that nobody hears tractor noise because we're moving some trees. We're going to go out and move some trees. So I'll be
okay,
here,
well,
but I'll be on mute.
Okay, well, hopefully you can join back in before it's all finished. Okay, John, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so what are you thinking about all this crazy stuff going on?
Well, I think that Karen and you have good viewpoints about what's going on. Florida is actually one of the two states that are our two best states. And, but they have a ways to go, but they are now both unavailable to the Democrat Party. And
do you really let me ask you something real quick there. I mean, are you not concerned about this abortion issue going to drive a lot of people out to the wrong voters, if
I
you will?
I do not give one whit what women do with their vaginas. Not even one. Women are a gigantic pain in the butt with their abortion, and there are many women out there that don't give a damn about anything but that.
Well, and that's more to the point. Talk about the what is having this referendum, this abortion referendum on the ballot in November, how is that going to impact who goes and votes? And I personally, I think
the world knows how it's going to impact.
Well, I think it's going to drive a lot more Democrats out to vote who maybe wouldn't have paid any attention. But now it's one of those issues, which is what happened in 2022. A lot of states started putting that on the ballot, and then they got people out there
really
who may not have voted.
What's going to happen with that?
Well, I can't.
It's ridiculous.
You don't think it's going to have any impact on who votes? I do,
huh?
But whatever. Okay. You don't think it's going to? You don't think putting that kind of an issue on you don't think putting that kind of an issue on the ballot is going to drive out a few more people to? To get out there and vote, you don't think it's going to get some of the Democrats?
It's quite possible. I think the human race is a hopeless pile of crap.
Well,
to be
no
honest
argument
with
there.
You, to be quite honest with you, it's totally hopeless. And
Here's the most interesting part of all this. We have this interaction here between something going on with the Jews and other predictions that have been made. There have been many biblical predictions made about the final days. It's all over the Bible. In the final days this, and the final days that. And I am not a person to poo-poo anything that comes out of these ancient books. Because I, for one, do not believe I made myself. I believe in a God that did it. And we're coming on the final days here where there's been many critical predictions. And when you're... We may be down to the nitty-gritty where we're going to need some of these predictions to start developing as really the only thing that can save us. And I'm not super religious, but I'm not stupid either. Just take one look at that Bible. And look at what's going on in Israel right now. And the predictions as far as the final days before Christ's return, and that was all made well before any of us were born. And here we're just cruising toward it, like, and everybody's ignoring it. This may be the only hope of mankind. When they made all those predictions, somebody knew it was going to get completely unsalvageable unless somebody returned. And the predictions are right in there.
Yeah,
so we may be, we can see how ineffective our efforts are being, stopping anything from happening. I'm saying if you're a believing person in the final days, there is no way you can't see a direct relationship between all of these biblical predictions and what's happening now. And it may be reaching a point where we can't do anything about it.
Well,
that's all I'm saying. And the more we try, it's like we're stuck in quicksand. And the more we try, the bigger the mess gets.
Well, I can agree with that. And the question is, have we lost our way so much? And I guess it was Reagan who said, well, if we cease to be one nation under God, we will be a nation gone under.
We never had the ability in the first place. We never had the ability to run this world in the first place. That's what we're proving.
The human condition. There's definitely much room for improvement.
The human condition is now slowly getting totally out of control. And unless there's some kind of an intervention, and there's been no shortage of them. We're all going straight down the tubes, and we may start going hungry. That's how crazy it can get, because I have no faith anymore in the human ability to solve its problems. The more they try to solve their problems, the worse they make them.
I asked the question, because going back to really what you're saying there, are Americans ready for the Great Depression, the greatest of Great Depressions? The Depression back in the 30s, whatever, this what's coming up now. I think most people today, especially younger people, who are so used to thinking that food grows in a grocery store, they don't know where food comes from. They're going to flip out when they don't have it.
That is an option. But right now, there's so many options in play that are possibilities. There's people that absolutely believe we're in the final days, and I can't argue with them.
Well, it's just true. There's definitely reason to believe it.
Pardon?
I said there's definitely reason to believe we are in the final days. if you read that Bible.
It's like describing it to a T.
Yeah.
Why is this Israeli situation coming along just at this time? Mm-hmm. And it's definitely connected with the final days. Something is developing out there, and it may be completely out of our control to change it. Now, if something happens, and I see an intervention of something supernatural, I'm going to be the most relieved person on this planet, because I'll know that those prophecies are being fulfilled. And they're saving a bunch of crazy human beings from their own destruction. And believe me, I've got my eye on the whole thing. But there's a reason why Israel is being this implicated at this time in history, and that all spells final days to me.
There's definitely reason to believe that God has a plan, and the plan may be coming towards us.
The plan has been predicted.
Yep. Okay.
So that's what I think is happening.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. Stay on the line, and we'll get back to you at some point here, too. But I got three other people wanting to chat right this moment. Let me go to Cindy, then I see Sarge, and then I see Tave out there. So, Cindy, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm not as pessimistic. No, I'm not going to be pessimistic, because I've heard all this before, 20 years, maybe even 30, all during Obama, we're going to have a crash, we're going to, Jesus is coming. I've heard it all, and I'm going to tell you what I really think. The churches, okay, one or two I would leave out, but, they continue to do this, yet they're the worst. They don't vote. Okay? They don't speak out from the pulpit. And yet they're sitting around, the rapture's coming, so we'll just, we'll just wait around. Okay? I don't believe that Jesus wants us to do that. I pray to Jesus every day. When I read the Bible, I go to the verses. I'm not an expert on the Bible. But I can tell you it's changed my life in the last probably 4 months since I've changed my whole routine. Doors open, and I do believe that he is there. And if you pray to him and you ask for help and you read, you know, you don't have to read the whole Bible, just read some passages in it and keep continuing to thank him during the day. I see things happening all around me. And I don't believe the American people are that stupid. Yeah, I think there's a lot of them asleep, Sal. I really do. I think there's a lot of them asleep. And I do think that some of them are just don't want to be involved. You know, the eclipse today, anything to keep them from seeing what's really going on. But they're going to have to face it because the election is going to come up. If we have an election, and things are going to happen, and tragedies are going to happen. And that's just the way it is in this world today. I don't have to be part of the transgender thing. I don't have to look at it. I turned my TV off long ago. I don't need to even have it on. You know, I listen to the radio. I can go and listen to music. I don't have to be part of it. You know, it's what we're going to make of it. I'm not as worried as I was, let's say, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago. I have no faith in the Republicans, but I don't think that the political class is going to save us anyway. I can just say on the local level, we have candidates that really understand, and we're going to build it up and get our ducks in order here in Martin County and in Sewell's Point and in the city of Stewart. People are starting to notice. They're realizing that why are they doing this when we have inflation? Why are they taking $8 million grants? People are starting to talk that way, and this is what is going to have to happen at a local level. And as far as, you know, Brian Mass said today to my friend, Representative Brian Mass, he said to him the executive order that Biden had done, which is Executive 14019, which is to get the people in the housing communities to vote. Now, that's going to the Supreme Court. Okay, he wasn't really allowed to do that. So we'll see what the Supreme Court rules about it. But you know what Brian said? He said, I'm one person up here. There's nothing I can do about that. And there isn't anything he can do about it. He's just trying to, the pressure is so bad up there, and he didn't vote for that, bill, all that spending bill. And he's not a perfect legislator, but he's also very pragmatic and has not lost hope. And, you know, he lost his legs in the war, and he's got four little boys.
Right.
And I can tell you, I said to him, I didn't like him at first. I ran a candidate against him. And we've made amends, and he is, I think he's a fair man, and I think he understands. And I wrote to him, a couple weeks ago, and I said to him, what is with this war? I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear about Israel. I don't want to hear about Ukraine. I don't want my tax dollars going to pay for either one of them. Israel's going to survive, okay? And I do believe that. We can't stop. We cannot change the world, okay? And the thing that bothers me the most about both those incidents is the neo-Nazis that are in Ukraine and the fact that Israel has literally gone in and just destroyed. Where are those Palestinians supposed to go? And I'm not sticking up for the Muslims, but my God, I mean, you're killing children too. And that's a fact. Listen to Redacted, Clayton Morris. I think Clayton Morris, who used to be on Fox, is like Tucker. He's telling both sides of the story. I mean, what the Muslims are doing is stupid up in Dearborn, Michigan, would be like what the I could say that would be like when the Polish people used to live in one area and the Greeks lived in another area in Newark and the blacks lived in another area and the Puerto Ricans down the street. Everybody had their section, okay, back in the 1950s, 1940s. Isn't that the same thing that's going on here now? Yes, does the Quran say all these horrible things? But really, have we had a 9/11 attack since 9/11? Remember all the hype? I mean, they passed the Patriot Act, right? I mean, George Bush got that done. They've taken more control of our lives because of it. They use war. They use every tactic they can to control us. And I think we're making a big mistake. What we should be doing is trying to talk to those people. I talk to these people down the street that have a really great store that I shop in all the time because they have Middle Eastern stuff and Greek stuff. And they don't want war. They're just a normal couple, came from Beirut, and they're not, you know, walking around wanting to kill the Jews. They just don't want war. And I don't think we want war. And I think it's not going to be, I don't know if it's going to be a two-state solution. Isn't that what Trump tried to do with his son-in-law, Kushner? And now Kushner's in bed with the Saudis, and they're going to build this big resort in Bulgaria or somewhere over there, Albania. And then he made a comment about, well, when Gaza's all smashed up, we can go rebuild it there. Why? So they can build a casino? You know, this is what has to do with land and the fact of the sea being there. I mean, I'm just laying it all out. I'm seeing both sides of the coin because I have people tell me now, I didn't know about the Zionists. I asked Karen about this. So then they said, go read the Henry Maykow. Go read this. Go read this. Go read this with a read. Now, I read it all. I've been versed. Then I got the Republican useless world. And then we have the conspiracy world, which is Trump is in control. The military's in control. Q said he's still the president. And then we have the real life over here, right? So there's four different things going on here. But I do say that they allowed Alex Jones back on Twitter. When he got back on Twitter, everybody wanted Nick Valentes to be back on Twitter. Nick Valentes, Kanye West, and Milo Yiannopoulos went to Mar-a-Lago about a year and a half ago, whatever it was, to sit down with Trump. Aaron Janot, who ran the campaign in 2016, was there sitting in a chair next to Trump. And I don't know what the conversation was about. It was all over the news that he had a bunch of anti-Semites there. Well, I don't know. Milo Yiannopoulos used to work for Breitbart. I never heard him say anything anti-Semite. Nick Valentes, yes, does question the Zionists and the banksters, which is what was written in The Creature of Jekyll Island. I mean, if you could read Edward Griffin, he's still around. You can talk to him about it. He knows that. So, and Kanye West, of course, was going out there and criticizing, and then he turned around and apologized to the Jews because he was talking about the industry out in Hollywood, okay? And now we're starting to see all the pedophiles come around. So there's something going on here. Smiley, who is a Jewish rabbi, was on Alex Jones, screaming at Alex Jones. You know what he has? Pornhub. And he also manufactures sex toys. This is the kind of stuff that's going on that's really evil, and yet we're not allowed to talk about it. Now, I'm just going to run this by you. So I didn't know that this bill was out there. Florida passed a bill. Just about every state in the union has passed a bill. It may be four that haven't yet, or they're pending, the last time I looked. It's an anti-Semite bill. So I'm just going to connect the dots. Why was it last year, we're now in 2024, that would be in 2023, why would a bill have to have been needed like that in 23? I don't know why. Was there any problem in Israel? No. Did they know that the Israelis were going to get hit? Were they expecting people to go around and shoot Jewish people in America, in different states? Why did we need a bill like that? And why was there no press about it? That's very consistent.
Exactly. The games that are being played.
The games that are being played, yes. And we the people, you know, we're up there again, all these people, you know, the Constitution. I love the Constitution. I love all of it, but we have to tell the truth. We can't sit here and hide and say everybody's good. Everybody, this side's bad and that side's good. No, they're both bad. They're both bad. You know, somebody goes in and kills your family like Hamas did. Is evil what they did to those people in Israel. But I want to know why it took 7 hours for Bibi Netanyahu to do anything and for Israel not to have known that that was going to happen and then to have all these bills sitting out there. And why don't we know that Israel has, the last time I looked, was 166 billion or million trillion, whatever it is now, in the bank, and has free health care, and why we're still giving them money? For what reason? Could it be the military-industrial complex? And yet we're still giving money to Ukraine and the neo-Nazis are there, which is what Putin is talking about. I don't buy into that. I heard There's a great guy. His name is, let me think of his name right now. I wrote it down. I've heard him before. Rickards is his name. He's an economist, but he's written a bunch of books. And he was on, I think it was Steve Bannon. And he said, you know, this is nonsense. Our ally should be Russia. Russia and the United States should be partnering. The evil one is China. Okay?
Right.
I mean, you know, when Tucker did that interview, I had people say to me, oh, that's propaganda. Oh, that grocery store that he was in, that's not true. And the whole time this has been going on, I watched a couple in Russia, a sweet little couple who had a baby little girl, and they would go like at 8 o'clock at night, and they'd take us to a store on YouTube, and they'd go, well, this is our grocery store. It was amazing. I mean, they said all these, they don't have GMOs in Russia. And then they take you to how you buy a car, and this is how we heat our houses, and this is what they were doing. And when I would tell people that, they thought I was crazy. They said that was all propaganda, and it was fake. So Yulia, who's Russia, whose brother lives in Moscow, every time she'd come into the gym, I go, Yulia, how's your brother? Everything good with him. He's good. How's the food situation? Nothing wrong in Russia. He's very good. So this is bullshit. This is bullshit. This is about BlackRock. This is about military-industrial complex and all the other crony capitalist cronyism. And I'm finally, thank you very much. His name is Tucker. I forgot his first name. He wrote a piece. It's not corporatism. It's fascism. That's what we have now. And we got to keep it going. So after they destroyed everything in Gaza, who do you think is going to go rebuild it? BlackRock. And that's the goal. Now, do I think the Muslims, a lot of Muslims, hate the Jews? Yes. But you know what? A lot of Muslims live in Israel. And they're in Jerusalem. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not there. I can't judge all that and make that. And do I think that there's some really creepy stuff in the Quran? Yes. I mean, how long did we – I mean, think about this, Sally. When Obama was in office, we had people traveling. Virgie Gabrielle, I had her twice. I can go on and on. Tom Trento, all these people traveling around the country, you know, telling us the Quran was bad and this is bad and that's bad and blah, blah, blah. We're all going to be dead. And they're doing secret meetings in Georgia and the terrorists are here and they're training them in Georgia. And what happened? Nothing. Now, doesn't mean that that's not going to happen now because of what's going on the border. I got robbed Saturday at Home Goods. They went right in my pocketbook and took my wallet. It was a Chinese illegal with black, dark sunglasses at 7 o'clock at night and a woman. So when I called the police, they took all my credit cards, my cash, everything. And I live in a little town. So when I got home, I called the police. I told them, please meet me at the house. And I'm very safe where I live. And he said, oh, yeah, it's the gang. They have to perform. They come through the border. Then they take all their stuff that they got at the border. And then the gang says to them, you got to go out and perform. And then we'll give you back your stuff. So that's what's going on in Florida. And it's all, everything is propaganda. I don't believe anything that anybody says. I believe the truth. Just connect the dots. And that's what I see is going on. But do I think that America is over? No, I still see really nice families. I see people who care about each other. I think we all care about each other. And I don't believe America is going to be done. And, yes, there are stupid people, but I can't fix that. So we just have to hope that we get everybody out to vote. And that's what I'm trying to do, get local people elected and just pray and let it be, and that's what I believe in. I don't know, you know, maybe the rapture is coming, but I heard that the whole 8 years Obama was in, you know, he was, what did they call him? Wasn't he the devil or something? Whatever. I mean, you know, and what happened?
I think it was Pelosi called him the Messiah. didn't Pelosi call him the Messiah?
But I mean, we survived the 8 years, and Obama put all this in, by the way. And he's still running the show. These are evil people, but people are seeing the evil. Look at look what's happening to, I mean, I know a lot of black people, they're all voting for Trump. They're waking up.
Yeah.
They see it because their jobs are being taken away by people who are crossing the border. And then I don't know if you saw what, this is why life is still good. The president of El Salvador, if you didn't get to watch his speech, I think it was at Turning Point or CPAC, I can't remember. Excellent speech. Young, smart.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Okay, you know who I mean? Yeah. So
yes.
He, so the other, a couple nights ago, this guy was in the city in El Salvador, and it was clean. They had scrubbed all the graffiti off. He was going around the side streets, and they were still scrubbing the graffiti off. There was a beautiful children's museum. People were walking. This is a city that they couldn't even take a walk. They couldn't go outside. Okay? So now he put on Twitter today that he's asking people to move to El Salvador. We need doctors. We need philosophers. We need artists. He had like about 16 different kinds of professions. And you don't have to pay taxes, and we'll help you, give you a place to live, because this is what we're going to do. We're going to build our country back to greatness. Now that is amazing. That to me was amazing. So we want people to come to emigrate, but we're not going to take just anybody. We want these people, because these people and these professions are going to help our people rebuild our country. That's the
interesting
good news today. Isn't that
okay,
good?
Well, let me ask you, as a Floridian, this issue on the abortion referendum, what impact do you think that's going to have on the election of, getting people to come out and whatever else? Or do you, kind of like what John was saying, he doesn't think it's going to make a difference?
I think people are going to come out and vote anyway, because either I just do. Because they're not just going to look at the abortion issue. If you're just going to vote because of that, I just don't.
Well,
maybe some crazy lunatics, okay? But, I mean, we have crazy lunatics besides that. But I do think, Trump, what he said today was a perfect, what he said on abortion today, where he stood. I think that was excellent. And if they're too stupid, I mean, that's their problem. And in the state of Florida, if you don't like it, then move to another state, right? I mean, if you want to have an abortion,
in the state of Florida, you have to have a super majority, the 60% to change the state constitution.
Yes.
And
right.
I haven't read the actual language on this abortion bill, but what I hear being reported about it is that it will basically be unlimited abortion. So you could abort up until the day, and who knows, maybe the day after, like the craziness in North Carolina.
Well,
so,
let me ask you, I think people actually would see, this is how I think they should fight it. When we're talking about killing a child at 9 months, then let's talk about euthanasia now. Okay, you're sick, you have multiple sclerosis, so you're no good for us, so we're going to kill you. Why isn't that the same? You know, we should be taking that issue, because euthanasia is coming, by the way. That's the latest thing. You see what's going on in Canada.
Oh, yeah,
that's what we really want.
Yeah, Canada already, yeah.
We're controlling a population with abortion. We're controlling now people. You have no value to society, so we'll just kill you and get it over with. Okay, too bad you got cancer. Okay, oh, sorry. Oh, you could have a chance to live, but we're just going to kill you anyway. Or you want to get killed, okay, that's fine, we'll let you kill yourself. Whatever it is, people have to start talking about all of it. And I just think sometimes the way the right handles it is wrong, but maybe we need to show it, you know. I really think it's really important to show the pictures, because I think when people really see the pictures and that living child, it really makes a difference. But everybody's so squeamish about it. They don't really.
What's that group that Glenn Beck has been working with, newborn, whatever. They show the mother the baby before the abortion.
Yeah, we have that here too.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we have a bus going around where they can get the, and that we parked it in front of that Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood, after probably 10 years, 15 years, David Ioli and all these really good Catholics, Planned Parenthood packed up and went away. So it can happen. But I think it's an issue, but I think people are really, really starting to see it's affecting their pocketbook. And, you know, the economy is a big thing with people. And when the gas prices start to rise, which they're going to, right, what is he going to do then, Biden? What has he given anybody? Nothing. Nothing. And I don't care what they say. I mean, today they're going, well, we're going to take away your gas car. Okay, yeah, sure, fine. I have to laugh when I hear that because, yeah, well, maybe, you know, they'll try to make it hard for the manufacturers to build gas cars, but people are still going to have gas cars and they're still going to drive them. And I mean, I'm going to drive my car until I'm dead. I'm never going to get a new car. I don't want all that junk in it to begin with. I don't want all the technology.
Yeah. Well, if we get Trump in there, and yeah, I know I understand what you're saying on both points here. The thing with the Florida deal was how much it's going to drive others out to vote who won't. There's so many other things going on. There should be enough other reasons to drive people out to vote. I just don't know. And if the Republicans had a brain, which we know they don't, they would be out there doing that exact same thing about showing the images of the baby and everything like that. But the Republicans are stupid. Let's face it. They're taken over by the Uniparty, whatever it is. They're so clueless. The Republicans are so disgusting in so many ways. They really are.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the gas car stuff, as you said before, the EVs, this is all in reference to control. This is a communist takeover that they're trying to do, and they've been extremely successful. It was Trump who derailed their program. I would hate to think of where we would be at today had Trump not gotten in there and shined a light on what was really happening and stopping a lot of this and making people aware. Because up until that point, you and I and Karen and a group of us, we've been talking about Agenda 21 and the New World Order and all this other stuff back since the day of George H.W. Bush and before. So it's truly nothing new. The brainwashing and the stupidity and the dumbing down affirmative action garbage, you know, to try to get people to wake up. But now people are starting to suffer. And we've been saying that. How much do people have to suffer before they will get off their dead duffs and do something? You know, and now people are really suffering. It's like, yeah, well, this really is happening. And maybe we actually should do something. And we're seeing this around the world. It's not just happening here. We're seeing other societies, the farmers. Look what they're doing to the farmers. They're trying to force us to eat crickets and whatever else. But the sad part is if you get a moron like Biden gets in there again, I will see them continue to block. And at what point do we fight back and say, no, we're going to drill the oil whether you like it or not. We're going to refine the oil whether you like it or not. This federal government has taken way too much control. Things that they weren't supposed to have any control over, this type of thing. When are we going to push back, not comply to the point that we shut that down? Because I know, you and I both know, anybody listening to this show right now knows, people don't want these EVs, and they're nothing to do, it has nothing to do with protecting the environment. It's all garbage. It's all about control and limiting your ability to travel. That's what they want to do because, again, it's a communist takeover. That's the same reason for the central bank digital currency thing. They want to control what you spend your money on. They want to control us. Have people suffered enough? Have they felt enough pain that they're going to go out there and actually vote the right way? Are they going to change local government? That local piece is so important, too. Are they going to make sure they get some decent Republicans in the U.S. Congress? Are they going to get them instead of a bunch of uniparties out there? And because I truly, in my own case, I am concerned, especially because of the money and the other stuff with the RNC, if they let these same morons get reelected into that house, and this is the house and then whatever else of garbage they have in the Senate, if they don't, at a minimum, if they don't have a house that will support Trump, what is going to happen to his presidency? And just as Karen was saying earlier, here the Republicans are fading out into
into La La Land, and the House could change, and then they could totally change the selection. It could happen. After what we saw in 2020 and in 2022 with the garbage out in Arizona and everything else, how can you not be concerned that's going to happen? I can pray. I can keep praying that we have some decency and that we have enough Mike Lindells out there who are really pushing the truth to save this next election. But it concerns me what this next election is going to be. And
well,
I guess
yeah,
I wish I had more faith. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, no, I think you're right. I mean, we have to be concerned about a lot of things. But on the other hand, when you look at the amount of people, I think people are not going to take any chances. They're going to go and vote at the poll, at the wherever they vote. They're not going to, they may, you know, people, if they do an absentee ballot, they may request one, but then they're going to bring it to their election office and put it in the drop box themselves. I mean, I just think there are ways that they're going to have to be, we're going to have to watch, and we will watch. But look, this is a massive thing. People are watching all around the world. They want Trump back. Listen to what the leaders are saying. Do you know right now what they're trying to do in Hungary to what's his name from Hungary? I can't think of his name right now. They are using the tactics, the color revolution, to get him out of office. Now, Hungary is the place. I mean, Viktor Orban came over here and went to Mar-a-Lago, what, about 2 months ago or whenever? And he was there and said, this is the man that has to get elected. So all over the world, there are leaders that want Trump back in. We just don't hear them. But I do believe that they are there. And I do believe even Putin, I believe, would want him back. Because he knows what a buffoon Biden is. And the people around
him.
These are evil people.
And
people
what Biden's doing for China. Biden is China's best friend.
And look at now, don't you think it's people are resigning, these Republicans? Well, maybe they're resigning because maybe we've got something on them. You know, maybe they need to resign.
Well, if they didn't want to, I wouldn't have as nearly the problem if they said they just weren't going to run for reelection. That would be,
right.
And I could see all that. That would be fine. I would wish they more of them would do that. But right now, to me, it's more of a game here. Where, yes, they were being offered better jobs. If they would resign, they'll be given some fluff job of whatever, a lobbyist, whatever it may be. But more importantly, is this will see control of the House over to the Democrats. They want that control of that House before this election because that's when they can go and play all these other games out there. So these Republicans that are resigning, wait a minute. Here, you cannot be a true Republican or an American patriot, whatever, if you would go out there and sell out for some big bucks that you're going to get afterwards to lose, to destroy this country, because that's what you're doing. If you do that crap, and then I want to know why these Republicans haven't gotten rid of Omar up there, who's obviously a foreign agent and totally anti-American. Mm-hmm. She took a sworn oath to uphold that Constitution. She's doing everything she can to do it. Republicans, they're just a bunch of idiots, unfortunately, way too many idiots in the Republican Party. I wish somebody could convince me they're not.
What did
go ahead.
Of what MTG said that about the speaker, that they must have something on them.
Oh,
interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably. How long? That's the reason why we really have to flush the get out of our house mentality. Has to be out there. We have to flush these people. If they're in there for any extended time, you know they're going to be wheeling and dealing. I don't care who they are. Just the majority of them are going to. And how many are too weak, as in Michael Johnson apparently, are going to truly stand up for the truth once they get cornered on some of the other crap they've been doing.
There's something else going on, don't you think? Because it's all I mean, they have the goods. I think they have the goods on a lot of them now. And they're getting worse. And just like, you know, Matthew, what was his name, Matthew Cawthorn, the one that left, remember? Because he came out and said that he got it. They invited to a party. I mean, just like Sanchez, I don't know if you've been on, but on Twitter, he's on Twitter all the time now. And they're talking about all this with other Republicans who are good Republicans in Twitter spaces. And they're talking about what Sanchez knew about a lot of the stuff. That's why they wanted to get rid of him. So this is all, you know, I think it is kind of awakening. I wouldn't say it's the great awakening. I'm not saying that it's going to cure all the ills, but I do think it is quite an eye-opener for people to digest, because people didn't pay attention, and now they're starting to pay attention, and they're looking, wow, this is really dirty. I mean, remember, think about it. When did they start talking about child trafficking for pedophiles? Or if you talk to somebody and said, you know, this trans thing is coming, people didn't even, they thought I was crazy when I was talking about stuff like that. Now it's like, oh, you were right. Yeah. Well, that's our government. Now we can see it in the light of day.
It wasn't a conspiracy theory. It was the truth. So stop listening to the mainstream, lamestream media and go find out what's really going on.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, it was good talking to you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Now we will go to Sarge. And then, Tave, I see you're still out there. Hello, Mr. Sarge.
Hey, hello, Sally. How you doing tonight? Boy, you got a lot of thought-provoking conversation tonight. I don't know where to begin. I wanted to start off with this abortion referendum. And I'd like to ask you a little bit more detail about it before I flesh out my comment. But I also would like to talk about what's going on in Israel and Gaza and everything else based upon what I heard. But to start off with, now, as far as this referendum goes, are we talking about just the state of Florida or that in several states? And how do you happen to know how these referenda are worded?
Well, I think there's the referendums for abortion on several states. The biggie is because of Florida and that what they think it's going to do to get the Democrats out to vote. They believe it's going to be a big plus for Biden because the Democrats will come out and vote for it. Now, to be honest, I have not read the actual language of the bill itself, but it's my understanding of the verbiage of it. And somebody tried to get me to sign a petition to put it on. That's how they were collecting petitions to get it on the ballot, and I didn't sign the petition. I didn't look at it. I knew what it was, roughly what it was about. And I said, no, I'm not going to go there. And the gist of it was pretty much unlimited abortions. It was really, Florida had the 15-week rule to begin with. Then they changed it to the 6 weeks. And a lot of people said that was a bad move, that Florida should have left it at the 15 weeks for the time being. If they want to put it on a referendum for the 6 weeks or whatever, they should do that kind of thing. But when they did the 6 weeks, and that's when it got these other people all riled up, and then they got their referendum out there, and it's basically unlimited abortion. Some even say it will be the day after. They can abort the baby as it's being born, like the North Carolina thing happened. So that was that's my take on the language of it. And I do believe it will bring some people out. Hopefully, like Cindy was saying, that there's enough people who are mad and irate about a lot of things that are going to get people out, and that won't be nearly as big of a factor as far as drawing the Biden vote out, kind of thing. So.
All right. Well, you know, I think this whole issue with this abortion issue now, the way it's come out, I think it is a combination of the same sort of magical thinking, the same sort of, cognitive dissonance and everything else about these monsters who've been able to infiltrate people's brains and convince women that the most important reason for their being is not to be the portal to which all human life must enter this world, but to work for some soulless corporation and have some job with some sort of prestige that, they can be applauded and celebrated for outside of being a good mother and someone working in a house. I mean, they've been able to successfully convince a substantial number of women of this, that is indeed the highest goal they can aspire to rather than being, you know, mothers. And the problem for women is this, and this is something that's kind of immutable at the moment, pending some sort of technological scientific breakthrough. Women's reproductive life is pretty limited compared to men's. I mean, it's essentially from the age of, oh, say, 14 to 45 or 50, and that's it. I mean, I look, You can be mad at me all you want. You can be mad at society or whatever, but nature has kind of set the rules for it. And, you know, and for a lot of women, the choice is fish or cut bait, and it used to be most women make the choice that being a mother is a higher priority than almost anything else. But with the advent of the what I call the awful, and, you know, that's a thing, I saw it on the Gutfield show. He gave it an acronym. And people with the awful are like the affluent, white, female, feminist, unhinged leftists. They've managed to convince, and their allies, they've managed to convince women of this, that, you know, abortion should be a sacrament, a goal, an objective, and it's more important than anything else. I still don't think that's the case with most women, but with a substantial number of women, it certainly is true, apparently. I mean, Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, openly boasted, and said she was proud that she went into a clinic and killed a child. That is how distorted and grotesque this argument has become from the people who favor it. So, I mean, we're just confronted with the reality now that this is apparently the state of affairs and the culture today for a large segment of women. And accordingly, since Roe versus Wade, to some extent, have sort of made the choice for us politically easier, meaning that it is a matter for the states, then we can say, well, yes, it is a matter, like Donald Trump is saying right now, it is a state matter. It is entirely something for you to take up with your state legislature and to convince them what the laws of your state ought to be. And I think if we kind of push that, and like Cindy was suggesting, show the pictures of the human life that's being destroyed, because there's no way they can get around the argument that every single successful abortion ends a human life. They can't get away from it. That's why they want to avoid talking about it more than anything else. And let's talk about 65 million just in the United States since Roe versus Wade, which is now the reason why the open borders crowd tell us we got to bring in illegal aliens because American women aren't having enough children. I mean, we can bring all of these consequences to bear just by telling the truth. All we got to do is tell the truth. We don't have to lie. We don't have to distort. We don't have to demonize. We just have to tell the truth and the fact of the matter. And I think we ought to be able to prevail eventually. I don't know if we'll do it by this election, but at some point, I think the truth will set in if we are relentless and we are determined not to back down in the face of what we're confronted with. Now,
Let me ask you. Let me ask you this real quick. Now, on the abortion issue, there's no two ways about it. If you go and show that you are destroying a life, you show the images there. A human life is there. And you do this. Do you think we have either Republicans or other conservative groups that will go out there and actually push for that, to go out there to combat what these referendums are doing? That's my concern, is that they're just all going to sit there, which is what they did during 2022. There was a bunch of those referendums and initiatives on the ballots, and the Republicans seem to just bobble their head and do nothing.
The wishy-washy punks won't. The rhinos won't. No, they won't. They won't. But the ones who have some manner of integrity, some devotion to the truth, and some measure of honesty will tell the truth, and we'll see if that'll be enough. I honestly don't know. I can't predict. I'm not quite as apocalyptic as John is, but I share his concern. I understand why he's saying the things that he's saying, because it does look grim out there in a lot of circles. But again, on the other hand, we're seeing our little victories here and there, and the more and more voices getting out to tell the truth. Right now, I think we're in a battle for information, and the more information we get out about what we're up against, the better. I think we have better odds of prevailing in the end. And if I might, I'd like to say something about Gaza, and this whole thing with Israel and the war there, and the allegations of genocide and wanton destruction of human life. And I just got to speaking about human life and the fact that every single successful abortion ends a human life. Now, not quite the same, because war doesn't necessarily kill you. Most people survive in war. But it definitely destroys many, many human lives and destroys a lot of them real quick. But unfortunately, war seems to be the way of mankind ever since we started forming society, which is forever. And since war is something that seems to go on constantly, if a situation begins that demands a war, then I think the only way to prevent a long, drawn-out, atrocious scale of the slaughter and destruction like Verdun or the Somme or any other momentous battle you can think of is to be violent and end it quickly. Because the longer this thing goes on, the more likely it is we're going to get dragged into it if Iran or Yemen or Syria intervenes, and that's the last thing in the world I want. Hamas cannot defeat Israel. They will not do it by themselves. Hamas, Israel can defeat Hamas. No sovereign country on the face of this planet can undertake an attack like that and not retaliate in kind to the point where he's saying we have to defeat this enemy. None. They forfeit their legitimacy to be a government and to expect to get taxes from their taxpayers and their citizens. So they have to take action that is appropriate. And I think for Israel, from Israel's point of view, I think destroying Hamas, not coming to an accommodation with them, is essential. They're going to have to defeat their enemy. And the only way to do that is quickly and violently so it doesn't drag out and become even worse. And that means it's going to be ugly, and it's going to look bad, and it does, because all of these, there's no way to fight a war with modern warfare and modern techniques against a fanatical enemy that's dug into an urban landscape. It is not possible to do it nicely. It ain't going to happen. The thing to do is avoid it in the first place. But once you're committed to it, it's going to be ugly. There's no getting around it. And to say that it's genocide, I think, is going to the point of even for something as brutal as war, hyperbole. I mean, the United States killed 68,000 French civilians in a run-up to Normandy. 68,000 with bombing. They didn't mean to kill the French civilians, but the Nazi installations that they were attacking, the lines of communication that the Nazis were using to supply their troops and all the other things were located in and around civilian centers. There was no way to avoid it. Now, I know it was 1940s technology, and they didn't have the precision weaponry they have today, but a lot of people place too much faith, again, magical thinking, technology is going to solve everything, and it just doesn't. No way. I mean, the 1940s technology was certainly good enough to distinguish what country you were bombing. The United States Army Air Force bombed Switzerland 70 damn times. They bombed a town called Aufschachenburg and killed 299 people. The United States government had to pay the Swiss government, like, what, $40 million in reparations after the war was over? They bombed Switzerland 70 times. They didn't mean to bomb Switzerland. I mean, look, there's going to be atrocities. There's going to be war crimes. The Israelis are going to commit them. Hamas has definitely committed war crimes by simply co-locating installations, their headquarters, their tunnels, in and around civilian centers like schools, hospitals, religious institutions, religious buildings and the like. Those are war crimes, too. And it makes it inevitable that you're going to kill civilians. There's no getting around. And plus, they're not letting them leave. They want them to be there because they want martyrs. They said so. Their leadership that's in Qatar said they want martyrs. And by making the Israelis kill them as they try to get out the Hamas forces that are insinuated amongst them, you get more outrage against the Israelis because nobody's holding Hamas any account for being waging rules of warfare fairly. All people know is Israel's more powerful than Hamas, so therefore it ain't fair. That's all they know. It ain't fair. Israel's more powerful. Why are they doing it, man? You know, they're just they're a bunch of little terrorists. I mean, it's crazy what I mean. You got almost a million in these wars in the Middle East since 9-11. A million. And hardly a peep about why they're waging war and killing their own people. And all these wars in all these Syria, Yemen, elsewhere, Libya. No, not a peep. But the Israelis have to do something. Oh, Katie barred the door. Look, I don't have any brook for either side, really. I don't want us to get involved in it. I don't. But like I said before, Sally, any country that undergoes an attack like this, even Red China, you know how much I despise Red China, they would have the duty to do something about it. And so does Israel. And it ain't going to be pretty. There's just no way to make it that way.
Well, that's the sad part, is nobody admits as to why this all started. It wasn't Israel declaring war on them. They were defending themselves. That's the part that's so frustrating. And then, of course, the other part is the fact that we're funding Iran and all the other garbage that this administration's doing that all contributes to promoting this war as well. It's just, it's so despicable.
Lest we forget, there was a ceasefire in place. There was a ceasefire in place. Hamas broke it.
Yeah.
There was a ceasefire there. Exactly. What are you going to do? Get another ceasefire on the break? Look, when your enemy's on the ropes, you don't let him have a respite. You don't. That's not how you win. Get him a respite. He gets to consolidate, reorganize, resupply, and make it tough for you. They're fighting in an urban environment. In case anybody doesn't know it, look up the history of warfare. The worst place to fight a war is in an urban built-up area, especially one that is rubble-strewn. There's no tougher environment in which infantry soldiers can fight. Look at Monte Cassino, look at Stalingrad, look at Seoul, look at Wei, look at Fallujah. I don't care where you go, it's always brutal, it's always ugly, it's never pretty. Never.
But at the same time now, in reality, do you truly, which I know I do, I am pretty sure if Trump had been the president, this wouldn't be happening. And so you go and you say, well, with this whatever Biden that we have, Biden, whatever you want to call this administration, how they, their role, their actions, inactions, whatever else, are the ones that really truly promoted this. Do you agree with that? Do you believe it wouldn't be happening right now if Trump would have still been president?
I have little doubt that if Donald Trump was the president of the United States right now, this thing either would not have happened or it would have been settled by now. It probably wouldn't have happened in the first place. And now you got this vast, no good, rotten Biden trying to have it both ways. See, he wants to express some sort of tepid, lukewarm support for Israel, and at the same time, he's trying to appeal to the left-wing, radical, nutcase, lunatic base of his party. He can't have it both ways. He's not going to have it both ways. It will be all of one or the other, and it's going to serve him right. I can't wait to see what's going to happen to him and his party over this, but they deserve every bit of it. They deserve to be rent by it because they are no damn good. These people are destructive. They despise this country. They despise its people. They even despise the people they profess to hate. I mean, they profess to support. Because the policies they institute are cruel in the long run. The policies they institute are cruel and destructive. It's like on the border. They're enabling human slavery and human trafficking while they bleat about the need to be kind, humane, and open and welcoming to the immigrants. And they are enabling sex slavery and sex and human trafficking. These people are despicable, and they deserve what they get.
Now, I heard something. Yeah, Karen, is that you?
I have a comment. Yeah, that's me.
Oh, sure. Well, let me put – hold on 1 second, Karen. Karen, hold on 1 second. I want to put something out there real quick. 200,000 deportations that didn't happen because – Department of Homeland Security didn't do their paperwork. That's the other example. Go ahead, Karen.
I just wanted to say I was listening to, I don't remember who, but if you go back and you listen to what Clinton said, he almost said the same thing that Trump said, because they are going after Trump because he said Hamas is smart, Russia is smart. Clinton said exactly the same thing. He said they're very good strategically. They are incredible. Clinton offered Arafat an incredible deal.
Almost rich.
And in as much as giving them the entire Gaza Strip and everything that was in it. And the deal was turned down. And when Clinton asked why, he was told that if I go back home and I accept this deal, then I will be killed because the goal is not the land. The goal is to get rid of Israel, period. They don't care about anything else. So you can't have a two-state deal to obliterate your enemy. Everybody knows that has any inkling of any war at all, of any strategy at all. And the idea that they are pushing a two-state solution is insane because the goal is not going to change. The goal is to obliterate Israel. I had a gentleman on my radio show who's actually on his way to Israel right now. He's a reporter and he reports a lot about Israel. And what he said was there's only one solution, and that is to obliterate Hamas and turn the land over to Jordan, who will put, you know, the Jordan police will take care of the area, the Jordan soldiers. He said because Egypt doesn't even want it. They just put up a fence and said, no, we don't want you. We know you're nuts. And if people did any digging, then all of the money that we are giving them, of course, are going to build more tunnels and going to get more ammunition from Iran. And all of this, you're right, started under Obama because Obama is the same mindset. He was a Muslim. He was a radical Muslim. He hates white people. He hates the Jews. And therefore, him obliterating Israel is just part of the deal. So he put all of the things in place. And the more money, giving how much money, what did they give? You saw pallets of cash that Obama was giving to Iran. What did you think was going to, that money was going to be? What were they going to use it for? Well, we know what they used it for. So this, unfortunately, is a problem, a major conflict that's been going on for 5,000 years, and it's not going to change. The radical Islamists are not going to change. And yes, there are some moderate Muslims. But after last night, I wish we could find them because last night, yesterday in Michigan, was a disgrace. And like I said before, if you don't like it here, leave. Why is Omar still in office? What Bible, what constitution is she obeying? I mean, this is what we're facing. And I think it's time that the American people, that we learn the truth, learn what's really going on. And we are, if you heard Chuck Schumer and Blinken, they're trying to get rid of Netanyahu and interfere in Israeli elections. Now, where did we hear that before? That's how they got Trudeau in office. Obama sent his people up to get Trudeau in office. So we are the worst offenders of interfering with elections. And if we think that they're not going to interfere with 2024, I got a surprise for everybody.
Okay.
Handwriting is on the wall, as they say. So this whole idea with Israel is, and I agree with Cindy, it's not the money. Israel doesn't need our money. They just need us to get out of their way and stop interfering with them. And let them
stop
do what
aiding
they
their
to
enemies.
And
stop giving
stop
the money to the
land.
Yeah.
It's a very sad situation.
Yeah.
And I agree with any Jew that votes for a Democrat hates Israel and hates their religion. I agree with him.
True. It makes no sense. It's beyond me to understand how some of the Jewish people could do that. Well, hold on. Hold that thought. We got about 11 minutes. We'll go over into some overtime. I can stay on a little bit after. It won't be till the full hour, but we can carry on. And Tave, and I see Joe, I see you out there too. So, Sarge, anything else you want to comment before I go to Tave?
Again, it's like I said, I don't want the United States to get involved in the Middle East, especially in a land war in the Middle East. The longer this thing drags out, the more likely it is we're going to get involved in it. Let Israel do what they got to do, win it as quickly as they can, and get it over with, so particularly we don't get involved.
Yep. Agreed. Yep. Okay. Any other last words on that one, Sarge?
Yeah, like I said, and like I said, we got enough on our plate. We can't even deal with our own damn border. I'm so sickened by what I'm seeing on that southern border, and the rationale they give us, and the little accounting tricks they're pulling to make us think the border crossings aren't as bad as they are, like Joe Biden's flying in 320,000 inadmissible aliens from Guantanamo Bay, and they're not willing to tell us. Remember, the Freedom of Information Act by the Center for Immigration Studies revealed this whole scheme, and now when we're asked for where they're being sent and what mechanism they're using to put them in the country, they say they can't do it because to reveal the sources would maybe make it easier for bad actors to take advantage of it. These people are so utterly corrupt and destructive and anti-American, it's almost impossible to comprehend the depths to which they will sink.
There's the true insurrection. You know, it's all the garbage they said about Jan 6 is an insurrection. That wasn't it. It's this invasion is the insurrection. It's the way they are putting
Amen.
These people all over the place. It's and it's like people got to wake up and smell the coffee, whatever else it is. It's so disgusting. Again, just a quick reminder, about nine minutes. If you want to continue listening, make sure you call in. Otherwise, you will be disconnected from the internet audio. Okay, yeah, there was one other thing. It was something I was going to mention to you on the in reference to you were talking about the abortion thing. When it comes to the role of women, how the feminist movement and what it really was supposed to do and what it has done, there's so much more to it, and we've had some more in-depth discussions. But it really part of what we have to do now, too, is to admire and recognize motherhood is a very valid and honorable thing. It's a wonderful thing. Instead of going out there saying, well, you're a stay-home mom and so you don't do anything, you know, whatever. It's degrading the way it's treated. And we need to change that attitude. That's a big part of it. And, of course, other along the way, there was the population control. So you could only have one or two children. There was a lot of this other stuff that was going on in the background, making it a negative to be a mother, to have many children and those types of things. So there's so much more to it as to what has happened on
yeah.
that piece of it. It's really pretty. It's a sad story when you really think about all the pieces to it. So that being said,
and don't forget the war in the suburbs, Sally. What about the war in the suburbs right now they're waging in the Biden administration? It's a plan.
Oh, that too.
Obama's carryover Obama's plan to destroy the suburbs, make it a dumping ground for illegal aliens.
Affirmatively
yep.
furthering fair housing is the name of it.
Well, I'm sorry, Karen, what was that? I couldn't quite hear you.
The name of it is called Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing, AFFH, is the acronym. And what it is the elimination of the suburbs by zoning and planning. So the minute the community takes a grant, the feds will come in and manage the community to make sure the community is sustainable and following the ESG and the DEI guidelines properly. And, of course, if everything has to be sustainable, then it has to conform. And the only way to make everything conform, they're actually going to outlaw single-family homes, and you'll see
yep.
townhouses and high-rises and all of those things because everybody will be allotted the same square footage. So the only way to do that is to make a whole bunch of apartment houses that have the same square footage. And it will be fair.
Yeah, I think it was Minnesota that actually banned single-family homes probably close to a decade ago now. Because the banning of single-family homes is definitely not new. We would talk about it, and people would just say, oh, they can't do that. But what are they doing here in the state of Florida? Giving all the rights to the developers, and they can take eminent domain rights and taking away local planning rights. That's what's happening right here in Florida. So it's just sick. You think of how sick it is, Biden and company, and the garbage you're doing, then you look a little bit closer to home. It's like, okay, DeSantis, what did you do to stop that? Or was that what your idea of freedom is, controlled housing and whatever else? And it's all pretty sick. Pretty sick. Okay,
certainly.
Let me get Taven here. And, Joe, I do still see you out there. I'm sorry for the long wait. Hey, Tave, what are you thinking tonight?
A lot of good topics. You know, and I can say in the last 10 years, I've done enough research, and I've studied, and I've studied, and I tried to find the facts and the answers, and I honest to God, I came across something the other day, and I started looking at it and listening and checking into it, and I think I found where my mind is asked me, where am I trying to go with everything, and find out what exactly, where the problems are and what's going on. And it goes back to the Bible in Revelation 3:9, where it says that these people are from the synagogue of Satan, and they're not Jews, but they claim to be. But we never get an answer on who they are. You know, they don't say, okay, it's this group of people, this tribe, whatever it is. Well, they do now know, because in California, UC Davis, a lady came forward with a book, and it makes all the sense in the world if you think about this. Now, stick with me. The people that are of the synagogue of Satan that claim to be Jews that are not are full-blooded Iranians. That's what they've found out. Now, they are descendants of the beginning of the Persian Empire, Iranian, 100%. Want everybody dead. Now you have that group of people that want to fight and kill everybody, and then you have the Pharisees and whatnot that go against Christ. So you have them in the same area, and then introduce Zionism. You take the Zionists who can't, there aren't Jews, they can't be Jews, and they can't be Iranian. You can accept the Muslim faith, but you can't accept, I mean, if you want to be a so-called Jew, you have to go through the Zionism. But I'm talking about the Babylonian, Talmudic, pedophilia-type-driven atmosphere that both these religions have, and they've been at war for 5,000, 6,000 years. Now, our problem is they've infiltrated everywhere because we have the Zionist portion of it that's in government. These are the people that can't be with who they think are going to be rule the world. That's the whole, the New World Order is not about that name. It's to rule the world. And these two factions are going to fight it out until either they kill each one, of them kills the other one, or they kill everybody else and they make everybody suffer to follow them. It's a prophecy that's been self-written because half of them hijacked the Bible on one side trying to get them to go against the other. I always could never understand in high school why when I listened to people talk about the holy wars, and I tried to, you know, you got minimal information back then. And now that the internet and everything, and to talk to, you know, I'm talking to rabbis. I'm not messing around anymore. I'm trying to get facts. The matters, everything around us is controlled by an aspect of a religion that has got total control of the banking system. The banking system in this world is why we've been in every war that we've been in, because when you try to go away from it, they come in and they kill you. You know, people in all history, I'm not saying Hitler's good, I'm not saying Gaddafi is good, I'm not saying Saddam Hussein was good. Nobody's, and when it comes to war, there's atrocities. Plus, you're going to have your generals, your commanders, your lieutenant, whatever. You're going to have a bad guy that wants to kill people anyway just because he's a nutbag to be right off the rip. You can't change those people. But you have to look back in history and ask yourself, why are we always told the one story? Because the winners of war write history. If you look at what the losers have talked about, just because you win a war doesn't mean you're a good people. That doesn't make you any better. You could be the worst people in the world and win a war. But the mentality is to think that the good guys always win the wars. That's the mentality I have always had, always thought. Now that I see the other side of the coin and I hear the other stories and the atrocities and see the facts that are put down in front of you, or you hear it from a rabbi, or you hear it from a priest, you hear it from people that have actual documentation through books. And I'm not talking about biblical or anything like that. Authors that wrote down things that happened that coincide with each other, even though they hate each other, on a calendrical system. They all match. But the thing about it is you come into America. Now you have Europeans in America, and we start arming ourselves at a very, very young age in this country. And we accumulate more and more and more weapons, and we become one of the two smaller factions in this war, Israel, basically they're right on to their paramilitary. That's what we are. We go to war for Israel like every one of these people claim for. Now, I've always asked, if Iran has been such a problem from the get-go, why haven't we wiped that place off the map? Why haven't they just went in there with a swift broom and just go, done? They're not big. Neither is Israel. But the mindset, because of the religious beliefs, the propaganda that's put out on both sides against each other has affected America wholeheartedly, because you have people that are completely influenced by that. Once they blackmail them, they get them in office. They can be the best people out here to us locally. As soon as they get a little – it's how many heads – when you climb up that ladder, each rung you go up is somebody's head you're stepping on. Somebody you said you would do something for, you made a promise, right? And they step on you. And that's what we're looking at. That's why we see these rhinos. But they're all siding with Israel, who is at war with Hamas and the people of the synagogue of Satan that claim to be the Jews are the Iranians. Does that make any sense to you? If I listen to me say all that, is it hard to believe? I mean, because if you look at the totality of everything, with all the wars that we've been in, it's been over drugs, money in the banking system, because the white China heroin and the opium that's gone through we're talking about the transatlantic trading with the slaves, the opium, and who was behind it? Talmudic, Babylonian Jews. Now you have them studying how to hand out this opium and how this drug is, so they can they use the drug more than anything to alter the minds of people. Why does America have such a huge opium problem? And that's when I say opium, a lot of people don't understand. Opium is your Percocets, Vicodins, your fentanyl, your anything is basically a painkiller. Now they've got a stranglehold. But they can't come into America, because at one point we decided, as decent human beings, not involved, what was going on over there. What we do have is a lot of guns, and these people.
Someone's talking
can't
in the background.
Come
thank
over.
You very much. Have a good day. Thank you.
Okay, I'm not sure who's talking in the background there. Let's hear somebody.
You
have a good day.
That or mustard? You want ketchup or mustard? You want mayonnaise on that? Supersize it.
Since
we have all the guns, and we have a foundation under a group of people, our founding fathers who came here and tried to break away from the British crown, which here we are again, we're talking about trying to get away from that monetary, that English, the British crown's monetary system through the Jewish banking system, the Roth, all that all falls into place. It's a wonder we didn't get crushed by Britain or the French for that reason. But after we get here and we make buddies with our Israel, we deem everybody else in this world that goes against them the enemy, because they have infiltrated just about every aspect, and, you know, the dual citizenship. I don't think America is ever going to be the same again, and I don't think it matters about voting, because I don't believe we've had an actual good election since 1933. I think they let us do this because what they're doing is they know that Israelis know they're going to be at war with Hamas and the Iranians, and there's not enough of them, so they need us to fund. They let us taxpaying American-driven workforce pay to rebuild the New Jerusalem Temple. I think you put Biden in office because he's a rum-dum. He wants to get everybody pissed off at him. So then you re-enter Donald Trump to get everybody in America fired up again. But Donald Trump's as big a Zionist as Joe Biden is. They're on the same team. They're playing them. It's a scrimmage game is what it is. To prolong, they can get more taxpayers' money. And then at the end of the day, they're just going to yank it out because they're still – if any of these politicians have any heart at all and can go against us and they're not with it, we shouldn't have this free speech trouble that we're hearing about. We shouldn't have the Second Amendment problem. We shouldn't have these problems like we're having, transgenderism, all this stuff. And UC Davis in California, this lady is about to expose a lot of this. And that is an actual college that's where it started at. In America, where there's a KGB guy that does an interview on television about 1970, he talks about the infiltration through the Bolsheviks and how they come into power. The Marxism, the communism, is racism, is Judaism, is Zionism. It's all together. They change the names, they hide behind it, and they do it. Now they've gotten to where they want to be in power. They control everything. And they're going to do everything
to take our guns. That's kind of the hope. The whole point is they couldn't – doing the Pearl Harbor thing to take down the United States wasn't going to work. They had to come up with a different plan, and that's what this is.
That's right.
As Karen has said many times, it's all connected. It's all – there is nothing new here. There's no surprise.
Yes.
It's all planned.
And there's a guy
– well, he's
got a podcast.
And we've allowed ignorance
archaic.
through dumbing down people through public education,
yes.
the affirmative action garbage, and all this other stuff. People have been totally brainwashed that – If you can't say anything, if you didn't vote for Obama,
okay.
you were a racist. I mean, that was the brainwashing mentality
with
that.
And if you didn't vote for Joe Biden, you weren't black. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. They take their sides, but, you know, here's the thing. Americans think that we are the most technologically advanced civilization that's ever been on this planet, and that is the biggest line of bullshit you'll ever see in your life, because apparently
the
there was a civilization around. Well, you know
yes.
what? Apparently there was a civilization, and there's plenty of artifacts being found that we can't duplicate today with how advanced we are, and yet something still stands, and that's the Giza Pyramid. So I believe we're actually going backwards. We are getting, just like you said,
well,
we're dumbing ourselves down.
I would agree. We are going backwards. We're
yes.
definitely
we're
going sending. Backwards.
Yeah.
Hey, I opened the mic up for
it. Okay. Yeah. Well, without that, one
more
thing here.
I want to try to give you some more time, but we got three other people out there, Joe and then it's Boyd and Robert
out there.
Well,
Joe, nobody
there.
Wants to listen to Joe anyway. Joe's out hunting Bigfoot. Joe's all right. Man,
let Joe share and we'll get back to you.
I think that
go ahead.
We all just have to realize as Americans that there's a whole other thing going on in this world, not this country, this world, that has a bad agenda for us as Americans, period. If you look at the Talmud, what they say, they want everybody that's not a goyim or everybody that is a goyim, they want them dead. And the Iranians feel the same way, and they're the ones from the synagogue of Satan. So we better hang on to our guns and get these crooked politicians out and do what we got to do to take care of ourselves, because nobody else is going to do it. Don't think voting on it's going to happen is going to do it. We got to get rid of the crooked politicians to get people in there that have to do it the right way. Start all over, ground up.
Yep, no argument
it
there.
Sucks.
No,
it sucks.
No, totally
but it's
agree.
Hard. Yeah. And they've got these poor kids completely.
Joe?
That's
anyway.
Go ahead,
you know,
Joe.
We don't have any rep.
Go ahead and chime in.
We don't have any remedy in this country right now. That's the problem.
We don't.
We have no way to provide ourselves with remedy. You know, right now our present commercial system.
Don't we have to do that?
Our present commercial system.
Yeah.
Hold on, Dave. I can't hear both of you. Let Joe go ahead and say some stuff.
All right. Our present commercial system of law and the remedy that's provided to us is a fraud. The present commercial system of law basically has replaced the old, our old common law. We don't have common law anymore upon which our nation was founded, you know? So, so what do we do? I mean, you know, we have a Federal Reserve to discharge our debts with limited liability instead of paying our debts, you know, at common law with gold or silver or coins. So we can't do that. So we don't have an honest money system. We don't have an honest bartering system anymore. You know, the change in our system of law from public law to private commercial law, was even recognized by the Supreme Court back in 1938. So all of us, we don't realize how huge that is, and how much, and the procedures and decisions that our courts are making that are corrupt and. You know, the decisions were based upon public law before. Our system of law that was controlled by a constitutional, governance. You know, we had a constitution. Today, they don't rule upon the constitution. Look at the Trump situation. Look at my situation. This system of this that we have right now that's in place has been bringing us and driving us down. So we don't have a system or a remedy. So how do we get back a remedy to fix the problem we have in our country right now? What can we do? Trump. I'm so sick of hearing it. Trump's not going to be elected and snap his fingers
today.
And we're all going to be saved. It's not going to happen.
We talked about this yesterday.
We've got to do it ourselves.
We said this yesterday.
Hold on, Tave.
Yesterday we talked about that, right?
Okay, hold on, Tave. Before you go there, I'll get back to you. I'll let you chime in, too. But there's somebody out there, I don't know, a representative, I think it was a representative, I can't remember, is out there pushing to get to repeal the 16th Amendment. What are you thinking about that? I thought that was interesting that people are actually talking a little bit about what the Constitution is and changing the Constitution. What do you think about that, Joe?
Hey! Yay!
Yep. Yeah, I'm trying to remember who it is. I know I saw that. I'll try and pull up who actually put that out there.
Well, Sally, we have to start with, we'd have to go back to the 14th Amendment first. I mean, we got to do that one. You know, we got to recognize it. Anything that happened after the Reconstruction.
I'm hearing
Act,
a lot of noise in the background.
I know.
I can't concentrate.
Dave, you
may need to mute your mic, or I'll have to mute it because there's way too much noise. I think it's you.
Somebody, I heard Sarge yelling too, so I don't know if it was Sarge or what. But anyway, I don't know. Everybody, who knows?
I was cheering at the thought of the 16th Amendment being repealed.
I just unmuted mine. So.
Okay. Anyway, back to the train of thought. Like I said, anything after the Reconstruction Act really has been unconstitutional, everything that's happened. So we've got to erase that. So how do we go back in time? I mean, Sarge and I have this debate all the time. How do you go back in time and erase all this history, that everything that's happened? We can't fix one thing and not fix the other. It doesn't make any sense because we got broken – you know, if you're driving a car that doesn't have any oil, it's going to break down, right? So what do? You don't put water in it to keep it going just for a little while longer. You know, you can't put a Band-Aid on a wound that needs stitches. You know, I mean, so what do? What's the answer? You know, that's the problem. So
grandfather's got the boat, and they found a new land to come to.
You don't have to erase
history,
What we have to do is say all of the regulations and rules are not laws. So they don't have to be followed. It's the same thing with Biden's new rule that they are trying to make at the EPA to make the combustion engine obsolete and get rid of the gas stove. These are rules. They're not laws. What we have to do is go back to following the law. And if Trump does what he says he's going to do, he will eliminate these departments that make up these rules that we shouldn't be following. It's like a mandate. A mandate is not a law. And the only thing that we should be following are laws. And the laws should be enhanced, and we should be able to count on our sheriff, who answers to we the people, not the federal government, to support us if the government comes in and says, I want blah, blah, blah. Well, you can't have it because it's not a law. If we would follow the laws, we would be in good shape. And I just have one other comment, if you don't mind. The drug problem that is coming in from China, I believe, is part of China's program. They wrote a book for 100 years of how they're going to take over America. And if you remember the Chinese history, the English had the Opium Wars, and they flooded China with opium, which is how they took over China. So I just think China is retaliating and doing the same thing. It worked in China. We'll try it in America. And that's my comment on that part. But I think if we went back to actually following the Constitution and following the laws, then we would be in good shape. And the remedy, of course, is to use our own resources, like gas and oil, like minerals. They just found a huge lithium reserve in one of the states. But all of these resources that we have that are in the states belong to the people. They don't belong to the federal government to go and sell them to anybody. There's no place that allows a communist regime to come in and buy up American land. There's no place, but we don't have governors who have backbones who would put their foot down and say no. And that's the other part of the problem, is we've got to make sure who we vet, who are our candidates. And if we have a whole bunch of wishy-washy, nothings,
Yeah.
Then we'll be in deep trouble.
Well, that's so much of this, again, the ignorance of the average American voter, unfortunately, is not understanding what the Tenth Amendment is. We're not supposed to have a dictator. This, and agencies are not supposed to make laws. This is where Congress, years ago, how many times Congress has surrendered their rights over, and by doing that, they're actually derelict in their duties. They have violated their duties to us to represent us because they're not supposed to give away their control. They're supposed to be working on our behalf, not signing it over to all these others, including the Federal Reserve. But the ignorance out there, and this is why I've been trying and working with Karen and Cindy and some others here in Florida to push to start getting the 10th Amendment, states taking their rights back and getting the compact between different states that truly believe in freedom. Hey, New York and California, you want to form your own compact for transgender and whatever else, go do it. But let the rest of us become a compact. Maybe it may be the new United States, the freedom states or something, whatever, what's going to happen.
Well, you just
here.
Had a
Who
case,
knows?
Sally. You just had a case down there in Florida. Where I know I'm not saying that everybody's going to love this, what I'm saying or whatever, but the law is the law. You had a Nazi demonstration down there a couple years ago, and a guy got out of his car, and he pushed a 74-year-old Nazi to the ground. He went from behind, and they arrested the Nazi. So how – and he just lost at trial. He took it to trial. They got it on video. How does that happen? How does that happen? Because, you know, because we let emotion – take over instead of ruling on what is law. Whether we agree or not with the people, they have a right to have their First Amendment. You don't have a right to get out of your car and assault a 74-year-old man. That is assaulting an elderly man. Automatic 5 years in jail, supposedly, according to the statute. How do you get around that? You know? Why does this happen?
Yeah. I can't explain it. That kind of goes back to the same thing. We're totally ignoring the law, going by the emotion, going by the underlying agenda of those who want to destroy this country. We cannot allow ourselves to forget there is an unrestricted war to destroy this country. There's evilness all over the place, and the ignorance of the American people that are mostly the decent people who don't want to support that kind of garbage, who are standing on the sidelines and not taking action or don't even know what's going on because they listen to mainstream media. The media is the virus. The freedom of the press was supposed to be this watchdog force, but it's been totally taken over by the communist China crap and everything else too, and of course some big money. It's we've become so corrupted, which is truly, when you go back to the human condition, this kind of goes back to what John was saying in the very beginning, the human condition, that the evilness of people. Greed is the root of all evil. The power between greed and power, the root of all evil. And why some people think they have to do this and this other garbage. Before anybody else goes in, I want to just kind of mention this was House Resolution 61-117, proposing an amendment to the Constitution to repeal the 16th Article of Amendment is the way they worded it. And this is Warren Davidson, and he's a representative for Ohio's 8th Congressional District. So that's what's out there, and this is relatively new here. I'm trying to see what the date on this thing was. It was first introduced back in 2021, but it's been reintroduced or whatever. They're doing something with it. So who knows? It was interesting, and I was hearing this being reported on just recently. So they're stirring up interest in this again. Since I started that conversation, I wanted to go ahead and mention where I was seeing that. Let's see who up. Continue, Joe. Anything else you want to add? And we've got Boyd and Robert out there still in the
No, queue. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
Okay. And let's see. Let's go with Boyd. You were out there first, and then we will get to you, Robert. What are you thinking tonight, Boyd? Go ahead.
Well, Sally, you beat me to it on the amendment. It wasn't the 15th. It was the 16th, and it was done by some guy from Ohio. So you got me on there. But earlier, lady was talking about, beating the snot out of Hamas, and then having Israel turn that area over to Jordan. Well, I don't think Jordan would be too interested in that because of the fact that they have already once thrown those people out of their country. Literally took them all and deported them, threw them out of the country, and told them, don't ever come fucking back. Because of all the trouble that the quote-unquote Palestinian people caused in Jordan. And
more than just trouble, they had to kill tens of thousands of them. Black September, remember? They had to kill tens of thousands of PLO, and they tried to overthrow the government of King Hussein.
Right. And that was the trouble that they were causing. So I do not believe that Jordan would have any interest at all in helping Israel with policing the a Palestinian state or Gaza. I just don't believe that would ever happen. You know, and you could not turn those duties over to the United Nations because, you know, the United Nations was involved in October 7th. Their people helped.
Exactly.
And made sure that it all happened.
Well, but you got to remember that the Jordanians invited the PLO to get there as a place of refuge. They asked them to come in. And they thought they were being charitable to their Arab brothers. And they went bat nuts up in that country, and they had to do them in. I mean, it was bloody. Israelis didn't kill as many people in PLO as King Hussein did in Jordan.
Yep. And that is the reason why none of the Arab countries have offered refuge to the Palestinian people to get them out of the way of the war. Nope.
Got it.
They're going to have to. You know, here's the thing. There has never, ever been a war that has been won. That has not first decimated not only that country's army, but their civilian population must be decimated. I mean,
The Ukraine war is going to be the new Jerusalem.
You talk about
that's
martyrs.
You're talking about that, right?
You want to talk about martyrs in war? And everything, all you have to do is look at Nazi Germany. How many thousands and millions of Germans did we have to kill to stop that place? And I'm not talking about...
We killed 635,000 of them in bombing raids. 635,000 German civilians were killed in bombing raids by the Royal Air Force Bomber Command, the United States 8th Air Force. And 15th Air Force.
I'll say what General Patton said. 635,000.
Yep. So there's
the wrong people.
Israel. Whether you like it or not, Israel is going to have to finally destroy the Palestinian population. If they don't destroy the population, they're going to have the same problem right back again.
Are we considering Palestinians Iranians also?
Whoever's occupying the Gaza Strip,
I don't think the Israelis necessarily have to wipe out the Palestinian population, but it is inevitable that heavy civilian casualties are going to occur, given the nature of the warfare that the Israelis are being forced to fight. Hamas is dug into an urban terrain with bunches of rubble and tunnels. There is no look. Unless the Israelis are willing to sustain unacceptable casualties, which they're not, there is no substitute for firepower to dig them out. There just ain't.
Nope.
And that means they're going to kill civilians because they've located themselves amongst the civilian population deliberately. That also is a war crime.
Yes. And here's the thing about war crime. Okay? Rules of war, to include war crimes, are written up before war. And the only time that those rules are ever going to be enforced, if they are enforced at all, is after all the fighting is done. Because once you go into battle, there are no rules.
That's what
I'm telling you right now. I know that some Israeli soldiers are committing war crimes. You don't have to tell me. I know they are. Every army does it in a brutal war. There ain't no exception. So you ain't got to tell me the Israeli army is committing war crimes. But I don't think that's the norm. I really don't. I think it happens because it always happens. And I think Hamas is making it more inevitable by the manner in which they fight.
Yep.
You're talking
and
about one individual might kill somebody.
Yeah. Hold on one second. You mentioned Jordan, and Karen was the one who actually mentioned Jordan, I believe it was. So, Karen, do you want to give anything else further on that? Then, Tave, you can chime in after that.
Okay. It wasn't that they should become part of Jordan. It was just that they would be monitored by Jordan. So they wouldn't move to Jordan. They wouldn't become part of the country of Jordan. It was like a demilitarized zone managed by Jordan, because you couldn't have it managed by the UN. You know what would happen if that happened. So Jordan would be the only one, but it should be like a demilitarized zone where the Palestinians that want to could live, but the governing force and the soldiers would be Jordanian.
Right.
Well, historically, that region has always been a part of
it. Hold on.
Suggestion.
One at a time.
Nobody in the Israeli government has approved or accepted anything like that. It was just a suggestion of the gentleman that was on my show, and I thought it was worthy of some type of conversation. But I agree with you. If they leave more than a third of the Palestinian people alive, they're crazy. Because the same thing will start again. And I just read that Netanyahu said they have regrouped and they have already picked the day that they are going to go into Rafah. So that's the only answer.
Historically, that's always been a part of Jordan.
Hold on, folks. Everybody talking at once. You can't hear anything. Let me reply back. Okay.
I understand. I understood what you said, and I apologize because what I said in reply to that, I probably misstated. But anyway, I just don't think Jordan would be akin to that. Unless they were given a free hand to go in there and wipe them out
after what they did. They would have to do that. They would have a free autonomous hand to govern Jordan, like a territory. But it should be demilitarized.
Well, prior to the Balfour Declaration and the mandate in Palestine, Palestine was always a part of Jordan, or what is now Jordan or Syria. It has never been an independent nation. It was always part of one of or both of those two nations. So if it reverted back to it, that would be consistent with what is more historically accurate prior to 1948.
Well, there was a plan that this is the one that Obama always had, and it was the Levant, and this was the territory, that area being Palestine, which included Israel. So that, to me, is where all of this started. And somebody asked before why Hamas picked now. Apparently, and I'm not exactly sure of the name of the holy day, but there's a holy day somewhere in here. And in order for that to happen, of course, you know, this is ancient, there has to be a sacrifice. And in order for them to do this sacrifice, the Jews can't be around. So that was what this was. That was, if you go by the holy days, that is what this was. And that was why they picked that date.
Well, it's part of their charter. I mean, it's right there in their charter that Israel must not exist. I mean, it's in the charter.
Must
it's in
not
their
exist.
Charter.
Yeah, must not exist. Exactly. So,
yeah.
That's my crazy.
Yeah. I'm hearing either a cat or a baby in the background. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's my crazy.
I'm hearing noise in the background.
And on the other thing, on abortion, maybe if we called abortion what it really was, people would not. We give them fancy names. It's not fancy names. It's baby killing. Instead of using the word abortion, why don't we call them baby killers? Why do you want to kill babies?
Infanticide.
Yeah, why? Hey. No, don't understand that. They wouldn't understand that.
You got to make it sound human. Put the human aspect to it. Don't make it scientific. Make it human.
Why do you want to kill babies? Why is it so important to kill babies? Why do you feel kill babies? And then they go by a woman's choice. Okay, well, you have a choice. But what's the difference between killing a baby at 9 months or killing a baby the day after it was born? It's still a baby.
Well, look, by the way, just to put a coda on this thing about Palestine, just to show you the way people looked upon it. In 1919, when the first Congress of Muslim Associations met in Jerusalem to choose Palestinian representatives for the Paris Peace Conference after World War I, where they made the Treaty of Versailles, this is what they said. This was in their resolution. I quote, "We consider Palestine as part of Arab Syria, as it has never been separated from it at any time. We are connected with it by national, religious, linguistic, natural, economic, and geographical bounds." And then later on, when they had a commission called the King Crane Commission, and they found that Muslim Arabs opposed any plan to create a country called Palestine because they said they would view it as recognizing Zionist claims. In 1937, an Arab leader, a guy named Ani Bey Abdul Hadi, told the Peel Commission, where they were talking about partition in Palestine, and it's a quote from the guy, "There is no such country as Palestine. Palestine is a term the Zionists invented. There is no Palestine in the Bible. Our country was for centuries part of Syria." And the Arab Higher Committee, the United Nations, said the same thing in their statement to the General Assembly in 1947. They said Palestine is part of the province of Syria. The Arabs of Palestine did not compromise a separate political entity. And then later on, 3 years later, Ahmed Shoukry, later who became chairman of the PLO before Yasser Arafat, told the Security Council, "It is common knowledge that Palestine is nothing but southern Syria." The reason we're getting all this stuff now is because these Arabs want the Palestinians to stay as an aggrieved group, to be a thorn in the side of Israel and something they can use as a bargaining chip at the United Nations. That's why they're letting them stay they were, instead of absorbing them in all the Arab countries that have the same culture, like the rest of Europe did with the German refugees in 1945 and 46. You had 6 million Germans without a place to go. They were kicked out of Sudetenland in Czechoslovakia. They were kicked out of Eastern Germany. They were roaming, 6 million Germans, roaming the countries of Europe. And eventually they all got taken in by one or the other Eastern European country. The Arabs don't want that with the Palestinians because they want to use them as they are, as an aggrieved group and a thorn in the side of the world and Israel. That's why they're doing it. They're not helping them. They're not interested in helping them. They don't care a damn thing about the Palestinians. Now, the Israelis have probably done more for the Palestinians than the Arab brothers have.
True.
It's ridiculous.
Okay.
It is. Okay. Well, let me let Rob get in here. Robert, we're going to finally get you in here. We are running out of time a little bit here, but hey, Robert, are you there?
I'm here. Now, one of the things that I was going to talk about on my show on Friday night that didn't happen because of Blog Talk Radio, and I talked about it a little bit on the Lori Ann's show last night. We keep talking about all these other things that are going on, but nobody is realizing what's happening here in the United States. Down at the southern border, inside of New Mexico, the invading people that are now illegal.
I'm hearing some noise in the background. Hold on. If you're not talking, you might want to put yourself on mute. I can hear something else, and it's drowning out what Robert's saying. Go ahead, New Mexico.
What happened is happening in New Mexico is there is a mountain down in southern New Mexico called Mount Crystal Rey, and it has been a site for Christian or Catholic. It's been a Catholic. Well, now my mind went blank, but it's been a shrine up there because there's a big 29-foot statue of Jesus up there. Well, now the mountain does not belong to the United States anymore because the cartel has taken it. And we don't have enough border agents down there to take it back. So we've already lost some land here in the United States to invaders. And nobody seems to be interested in this. But the thing is, with this going on, we're going to have more fentanyl coming in, killing more kids and everything else, and nobody's interested. I am because I'm down here. But the media won't talk about it. The politicians won't talk about it. And, you know, we got to start looking at what's happening here in the United States and stop worrying about what's going on all the way around the world, although Israel is important. I do agree with that. That's essentially what I had to say.
Well, and I'll tell you, when it comes to the stuff, there's the one show on Real America's Voices, Law and Borders. They probably do some of the most in-depth coverage of what's going on all across there. And then, what's his name, Peter Schweitzer, who put the book out, Blood Money, how much China is controlling down there and the drugs and all that stuff. But the mainstream media aren't going to do it. The question is, why are these morons called Republicans in Congress not doing anything because of what they're not doing anything on that border? That is where my total disgust is. I mean, it's disgusting on the Democrats, too, because they're killing America. It's all evil. It's a uniparty communist takeover.
100%.
Kind of thing.
Like he said, he's 100% right.
About
100% right.
That,
I was going to say
that. About the same time that that cop
right
in New York was
okay, hold on. Okay, Robert, go ahead and continue. I'm sorry, we keep talking over each other and you can't hear anybody.
About the same time that that cop was murdered in New York City, we had one here in New Mexico that was a New Mexico state cop that was murdered helping somebody who had stopped at the side of the road and was feigning to have a flat tire, and he walked up to help them, and they shot him dead right there on the highway. And then they
and that actually did get mentioned on one of the shows. I'm trying to remember. It was Real America's Voices again. Somebody had sent an email in. I'm trying to remember which show it was on. And they said they were talking about the exact same one. They said, we understand what happened to the cop in New York. However, could you mention this other cop was also killed? And they actually did talk about it on one of the shows. Yep.
And I mentioned it several times, but, you know, it just seems like nobody's interested in what's going on down here. You know, New Mexico is just a southern state, and we're liberal down here, most of us anyway, or not most of us, but the politicians are. And so everybody kind of ignores New Mexico, but we've got an open border down here, and people are streaming in, and we've already lost the mountain, which does not belong to the United States anymore, and it's inside the United States.
But the sad part is this goes the same with Arizona. You got California, Arizona, New Mexico. These states are the ones that are promoting it, too. I mean, they're just as bad as
exactly.
I mean, they're part of the Biden regime. They truly are all part of it. And everything with California, even more and more, we're finding out how they're
they've aligned themselves with the CCP as well. It's all disgusting. And what do you do when your own state legislature and your own state governor won't do anything to secure your own land, your own state? It's all very disgusting. It really is. And finally, well, I mean, Abbott for a long time wasn't doing nearly much. He was opposing and he was outspoken about what was going on in Texas. But it took him a while to actually do something as well, including putting up the razor fence, razor blade fence and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what I had to say. But, you know, we've got, like down here in New Mexico, we've got an open border. We have a lot of Republicans who are trying to take offices away from the Democrats, which and this time it seems like they may have a good chance. So I've got my fingers crossed down here. But
well, we'll see if we can get the RNC to do something, too. I mean, of course, your own state Republican party of your state, like the Republican Party of Florida, what does it do half the time? So the if you get the Republicans to actually work together to try and save our country instead of help destroy it, it'd be nice. I'm hearing some kind of noise, paper shuffling or something in the background. If you don't hear the noise, that means you're the one making it. People shuffling stuff never notice what they're doing. Nobody else hears it. Dave, I know a couple times you tried to chime in here, so I'm going to give you a chance to chime in at this point,
okay.
And then we'll make a quick round table and wrap it up.
Okay. You know, he brought up a perfect point. We are at a crossroads as Americans because we have let people into this country that do not assimilate with the beliefs that we have. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care if you're Mexican. When you come to the United States of America, we have our own laws that we have gotten away from. That is the problem. We are letting people that are from other countries that serve on boards of in politics everywhere that have no desire when it comes down to a fight to do anything but other than defend where they're from. They're not here to assimilate and stand up for America. That's what's wrong with this place. We've got too many people that came here to have powerful positions, sit there, have control, and it goes on and on. And we won't call it out. We won't say, hey, well, we'll worry about it. You know what? Israel and Iran and Syria and Jordan, I'm sorry. I'm an American-born Cherokee Indian, and I don't give a shit what goes on over there anymore. I don't really care because what's affecting me right here every day in my life doesn't bother them over there. They've been fighting that war for 5,000 years. They're not going to stop fighting that war. I don't care who you put over there, Democratic, Republican, Israeli, Jordan, Syrian. I don't care if Jesus Christ himself comes down here. He's not going to stop that fight. These people hate each other. So what we have to worry about, deal with, is they come here or people from there, or they side with them, but they take away from the most important thing right here where we're sitting at, where you eat and where you get up and go to bed, go to work, and your kids are growing up and going to school and living. Your life is here. We can't worry about what goes on across the ocean that we have no control over, and that is apparent because it's 5,000 years of it. We've got to stop sending them money. We've got to stop providing them until we fix what is ours. And Joe brought it up. We talked about it the other day. Until common law is brought back and people are held accountable for things that are going on, like what Joe Biden's doing with China, what he's doing with Israel, what he's doing with Ukraine, whoever they're in bed with, all of them, until they're held accountable for what they're doing with the American people's money and our lives, there will be no more America. You might as well just write it off because the war is coming. They've already opened the door, north and southern borders. We can't stop it. It's already here. Now what's going to happen? Are we going to bend down and are we going to have to stand and fight for it? Because in all honesty, you have to ask yourself, you can complain and yell and scream and get mad about Israel and Hamas and everything else. What is it going to do today to help you with what you got going on right here? Because the people that believe in them are sitting in the seats in our power that are running our country are more concerned about what's going on over there. And that is what is disheartening, and it makes me sick to my stomach because I would die for this country. My father was a drill instructor in the Marine Corps. all these people, all these patriots that gave their lives and are giving their lives, are right now serving this country, have to suffer at the hands of people that have no intention of ever defending this country, this land we're in, the free land that's been provided to them, but they take advantage of it, and it sucks. And I'm really starting to get upset about it, because the politicians need to be held accountable. And you start the president, because if that guy's not held accountable, first and foremost, you just set an example for the rest of them. Just like you tell them you can go rob Walmart for $900. You think every crook in town ain't going to go rob something for $900 then? You're inviting it. You're doing the same thing in politics. When you don't put the people that shouldn't, don't follow the laws that the people in this country make, and that's it. I don't care what religion you're from. If you can't assimilate to be here, go. Get gone. Get out of here. We don't need it. If we don't do it, well, you're seeing what's happening.
Well,
look at Venezuela.
We
look
get
Australia.
The government we deserve. The sad fact
that's
is
right.
We get the government we deserve, and this has been over time that this has been allowed to fester the way it is. Now trying to clean up this mess and take it back is the challenge, especially when the elections are so corrupt. The way we've allowed the elections to be, or the people we've elected.
Okay, well, wait a minute, Sally. So when we elect these people, and we can put them in office, and then they say they're going to do, we got the rhinos, for example. When they say they're going to run on a ticket, they're going to do something for their people or whatever, and they get in ready to do the opposite thing, why are they allowed to remain?
I can partially answer that question. There's actually a two-part answer to that. While obviously most of them lie when they run, that's the big question. The point is they're not held liable to doing exactly what they say, and the reason, so to speak, or whatever, and I can agree with it to a certain degree, but obviously we know they abuse it, that they're not held liable. They can say that circumstances have changed, kind of like with, I'll use something that I think is despicable, the COVID vaccine, the jab. Okay, so when they first came out with the jab, which includes Trump, who supported it because this was going to help everybody, and yes, it's okay, the mandate was never right, but to go out there and say it was okay and not challenge what was really going on, were they justified in, just like Trump,
nope.
in saying... Were they justified in saying the vaccine to release the vaccine to allow the vaccine to be put out there? What should they?
Don't,
they were promoting it, whatever you want to call it, supporting it.
Don't
at
we
one
have
point.
Laws already in
and
place?
Then,
aren't there laws in place
well,
about releasing
but,
the vaccine?
I'm not saying.
You know
well, the whole point about them supporting it and promoting it. I'm giving the example here. In the beginning, there were those who really genuinely thought that the vaccine was good. That the FDA was helping us save lives and all this other stuff. I never believed it, but that's me. But then when the truth came out and then you started to try to change it, then they all ran for cover. They played games with it. The whole point is the information changed, so their position changed. That's the whole point on the other.
Ultimately, on day one,
you said this is your position on a certain issue. However, other factors came on and totally changed the circumstance, so now you've changed your position. That is the excuse they have. It's sometimes
that's
it's true and
okay.
sometimes it's not. Most of the time it's not. But the other side of it, one more thing real quick. The other side of it is that people don't go and recall them. Why do people not take the time to recall them? Well, it's not easy to recall them. But they should be. They should be recalled.
If they do, the people don't follow
you,
the laws.
You cannot.
In place. When
Sally.
They're not in place and they don't follow them, so then what happens is they turn around and say, if you don't do what we tell you now, you're going to be punished for it. That's what's insane. So you didn't follow the law to begin with on how to introduce this vaccine, but yet you should say to the people, you don't have to take it if you don't want to. You shouldn't turn around and say, you have to take it or we're going to take all your freedoms away from you. That's what's screwed up.
That was it.
Sally.
Yes, I totally agree with that. Yes. Boy. Yes.
Sally, unfortunately, there is a law, a federal law, that states you cannot recall a representative or a state senator.
Well, I don't know exactly where that's coming from because there's plenty of people, plenty of times that the recalls have been done, some successful and some not.
You may be able to do that inside your state, but for your federal representatives, and senators and stuff, it is against the law to try and recall them.
Yeah, the
he's right there, Sally. Unfortunately, he's right.
Is that right?
And there's no constitutional
right
provision.
You're kidding.
There's no constitutional provision to recall federal officials from any state.
Well, and that goes back to the impeachment or the treason or the other ways. But it's perfectly honest.
We're
this
not
is
under
where
the
we need to be cleaning up the process too, because
they're
violating the oath of office. Yeah, but like the thing with Mayorkas, they're saying they're trying to impeach him, but they're saying they can't impeach him because of something similar to that, something that he's not held liable for his dereliction of duty, which is something seriously wrong. If we want to talk about amendments, we ought to.
Contempt of constitution is a crime.
What's that?
Called contempt of constitution. It's a crime.
Oh.
And we're not under the Republican form of constitution, organic constitution anymore, so that's what the problem is.
Yeah. Exactly.
No common law, so we got common idiots everywhere.
Yeah. But, of course, equally important, especially when it comes to the House, that if we would stop reelecting him, which is a very big challenge, to stop reelecting when the elections are corrupted. So... But at the local
day,
state level, you obviously
the
can.
They
were they
to
tried to recall what the Newsom out there in California, and then they're recalling somebody up in Wisconsin, I think it was, some Secretary of State they're trying to recall up there. So there's definitely recalls at the state level, but the federal level. Yeah, okay. I'll stand corrected, not knowing exactly the federal level crap all up. Treason's allowed in this country, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, they changed the definition of what it is, and because if they knew what they were up against, they wouldn't be doing the shit they're doing.
Well,
they just declare treason not to be treason. That's how they get away with it.
Hold on.
They just said treason isn't treason.
Okay. Well, we're going to do the wrap up right now because we only got about 10 minutes left. Though, Sarge, go ahead real quick. Treason isn't treason.
Well, that's what they say, apparently. They just redefine treason like they redefine what a woman is. I mean,
exactly.
That's simple for these people. We got to understand the depths of what we're up against. I mean, look, George Orwell did not intend 1984 to be an instruction manual. He intended it to be a cautionary tale. These people, our opposition, have taken it and turned it into a manual for how to do government. So we got to understand the depths of what we're up against. Even a lot of us don't realize what we're up against. We're up against the people who will literally shape reality to their own ends and simply declare it to be so and dare you to say anything about it. So that's why, I think this problem is such of such a magnitude that for me, I'm just trying to take steps back. One at a time, one bite at a time. How do you eat an elephant? Eat it one bite at a time. I don't think Donald Trump is going to save us. I don't. I don't think he's going to save the world or save the United States. What I do think his election will do is to put a significant impediment in the way of their juggernaut. And that's all I want to do right now. Just stop this. Just halt it, or at least slow it the fuck down. I'm telling you, it is so bad. You guys keep putting together pieces of what the magnitude of the problem is. If you paste them all together, you've got an enormous tapestry. And we've got to burn the whole damn thing down. We got to do it one piece at a time. And right now, we got to stop this runaway, grotesque, insane, lunatic administration. That's the first thing. Then we got to go for the next thing. And then the next thing. And the next thing. It's going to be a long, hard slog. And our descendants are going to have to get in on it because we ain't going to do it by ourselves. It's been years and decades in the making.
All right, can I go next?
And people better be prepared for a massive, super severe depression. It'll be worse than any depression we've had in our history. Joe, go ahead.
All right. You know, our forefathers worry of the oppressive measures that King George III government forced upon them in common declared their independence from England, we know, in 1776. They were not expected to be successful in that resistance, obviously. The moneyed people had backed England for two major reasons. First, our forefathers wanted a rigid written constitution set in concrete. They were familiar with the so-called Constitution of England, which consisted largely of customs, precedents, traditions, and understanding, soft and vague and always flexible, you know, to the power and the corrupt. They wanted the principle of English common law, that an act done by an official person or lawmaking body beyond his or its legal competence was simply void. Second, the 13 little colonies desired, okay, to base their union on substance, which was gold and silver, real money. They well knew how the despotic governments of Europe were mortgaged to the hilt, you know, lock, stock, and barrel, the land, the people, everything, to certain wealthy men who controlled the bank, the currency, and all the credit, who lent credit, but did not loan gold and silver. The United States of America was made up of a union of what is now 50 sovereign states, okay, a three-branch legislative, executive, and judicial republic known as the United States of America, or as termed in the continental United States, termed in certain articles or certain history books, the continental United States. Its citizenry lives in one of the 50 states, and its laws are based on the Constitution, which is based on common law. Less than 100 years after we became a nation, a loophole was discovered in the Constitution by cunning lawyers in league with the international bankers. They realized that a separate nation existed by the same name, okay, that Congress had created. In Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, okay, bring a look up. This United States is a legislative democracy within a constitutional republic and is known as the Federal United States. And that's our problem today. You know, it has exclusive, unlimited rule over its citizenry, the residents of the District of Columbia, the territories and enclaves, Guam, Midway Islands, Wake Island, Puerto Rico, etc. And anyone who is a citizen by way of the 14th Amendment, naturalized citizens, both United States have the same Congress that rules in both nations. So we have to get rid of that. We have to stop. We have to understand the two governments that are working parallel. We've lost the republic. We don't have the republic, but it's still there. We can re-inhabit it through our assemblies, through our local sheriffs, and hold real elections. We can get back to common law, and we can restore our republic and restore our laws, because right now we're not operating as a republic. And until we do, we're not going to fix nothing. That's it.
Amen. I understand that one. Okay, and we are literally down to like 2-point-something minutes. Karen, real quick, the person you were saying was on your show in reference to the discussion about Israel. Do you want to go ahead and let everybody know that?
That was David Crystal, and there will be a podcast available on Wednesday. I can send it to you, and you'll be able to use it this week on the Prism. I have a gentleman who is a pilot and is going to be talking about what is going on in the airline industry with the affirmative action graduates and how they have destroyed that industry. And Sterling Burnett, who is from the Heartland Institute, and we will be talking about the climate and how the things that we're being told are because of the climate, like the earthquake, is not because of the climate. There are reasons, and the majority of that reason is called the ocean. So we all have to be aware that we are going to be having a La Nina this summer, and that will make the air and water colder.
Well, we are just out of time. We're going to get cut here any second
America's
now.
Education. Okay.
Okay.
So you did make it to hour 3.
Thank you so much. Sorry I didn't get around to everybody, but it's going to get cut here any second. Please tune in next week. Please be engaged. And may God bless America.
God bless America.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Sally.
Good night.
Good night.